Welcome to the Going Merry Podcast, the ultimate One Piece podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your co-hosts. And as always, I have my two amazing friends, Amanda and Whitney. Whitney, thanks for the middle finger. How are you doing today?
You're welcome, Derek. That was just for you.
Thanks. I feel really special. I feel included now. Amanda, how are you?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. And today, we have a very special guest with us. Brandy, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Derek?
I'm doing great.
Perfect.
And as a surprise, we have another special fucking guest. Garrett, how's it going, man?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm just happy to be here.
Sweet, sweet. Well, we are glad to have you. So before we dive into episode 6 of the live action here, I have questions that are for both Garrett and Brandy. I'm just curious on your history with anime. Have you watched any before? Have you seen One Piece before or anything like that? Or I'll let you go.
Go ahead, Garrett. Take it away.
Shoot. I mean, I've listened to the other episodes, and Keith sounds like he's listened to maybe about as much as me. I might have listened or watched more. Watched all of Dragon Ball Z and Super, JJK, Attack on Titan, and a couple others. But I've got some anime experience.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's more than any other guest we've had, I believe. It's a decent amount.
I mean, Dragon Ball Z by itself is like,
yeah, that's
it's like 400, almost 500 episodes of stuff. So
Dragon Ball Z is a lot. So out of like 500 episodes, how many do you think they're screaming the whole episode? I mean, I'd guess like 400 out of the 500.
probably. No, I mean, with Z, there's a lot of filler. But there's a lot of action, which
comes there definitely the is. Yep. And it's yeah, I like Dragon Ball Z.
I like the hype speeches. They
mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that for sure. Goku's good at those.
I'm a Vegeta guy.
You're a Vegeta guy? Okay. And I'm sure you heard me talk about this on, I don't know, an episode or two ago that the voice actor for Zoro is the same voice actor as Vegeta.
See, from what y'all were saying about the actual anime is, I don't know, it kind of like made me uninterested in a little bit. And then you started talking about the voice actors and I was like, man, now I kind of want to get into this strictly for the voice actors. Cause the Vegeta voice actor is,
he's great. Know,
yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's done quite a few like voice actings and like in anime and stuff like that. He's excellent. I really like him.
For sure.
I want to know what he looks like because his voice is really nice. Is he handsome?
I think he's an older dude.
Is he coming to GalaxyCon? I kind of feel like maybe he is.
Oh, hell yeah. I want to see him.
I think so.
I can't.
You think if I close my eyes and I pick out a line for him to read to me, do you think he'll do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Should get his autograph at least.
Absolutely. I just don't know his name. I'll figure it out before we get there.
Maybe. When is GalaxyCon?
Chris Sabat.
December.
The first through the third.
I was going to say, December. I thought it was Chris Sabat. Okay. Well, crap. I don't think we're going to get to nothing happen before then. No, we won't. Brandy, what about
you? Make up a line. I'll make up one.
You could always make up a line, yeah.
Whitney, you are the love of my life.
Hi, Roronoa Zoro.
Hi, Roronoa Zoro. Sorry. Go ahead, Brandy. I cut you off.
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brandy. What about your anime experience?
It's really limited. I've watched the majority of Naruto. And okay. I think for me, anime, it's a lot to go through, and I can get really engrossed in stuff, and then if it's taking too long, just kind of fall off. And that's pretty much what's happened with most anime. Like, I know what happened at the end of Naruto, but I just kind of looked it up at the end. I was just like, I can't take this anymore. Most of my anime experience actually comes because my sister's a big anime person. She's also my roommate. And so randomly when things happen, I just say, oh, what's that about? And she just gives us like me like the synopsis of it and breaks it down about if I will, like if I want to get into it, because I think once I get into it, I'd probably really like it. So she usually just does that. My brother's a little bit into it. He's like in between us, and he's really trying to get my niece and nephew into it. So, but mostly, yeah, I'm just like, so what's this? I heard about this. What's that about? And then she's like, oh, well, and then we go into it that way. So it's the opposite of how we do movies. So
I mean, that hey, that absolutely makes sense. So yeah. has your sister watched One Piece then?
She did. She watched, not sure how far she got. She did start off with and watch a lot of it, and then she stopped. And so I think when you guys first started talking about doing this podcast and everything, and about, you know, I think, wasn't there a movie that went like to theaters or something like that?
Yeah, there was a movie a few months ago that hit theaters.
Yeah, and I brought it up to her like, hey, I hear a lot of people saying like One Piece is like this great anime. Should I watch it? And she's like, I stopped watching it because it made me cry, and you cry at everything. Don't watch it. And I was like, perfect. That I'm glad you told me, because I like, it's kind of like the unemotional person cried. So then the over emotional person would bawl every episode, is how I kind of thought it was going to happen. So
yeah, I mean, not every episode, but I would say once an arc probably.
Yeah.
Like once every 60 episodes, sure, I would say it probably happened.
Yeah, so I, you know, even like the live action, it got me only once and I was surprised. So
okay,
that's good for me actually. So,
that's one thing I'm curious about is how, because like the moment that, which we talked about this a couple episodes ago, the moment in the East Blue arc here that the live action is kind of covering, the one that gets me has not happened yet where we're at in the live action.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how well that's done and kind of compare it to the anime, because that's going to be a tough bar to live up to. Emily Rudd's got her work cut out for her there. But
there was a moment in this episode that got me a little bit, like I welled up a little bit. I didn't boohoo, but it got me a little bit. I'll talk about it when we get there, but.
Okay, I probably know where you're at.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe, kind of.
Okay. I'm just going to say I'm excited about this. I will say going into watching this, which I'm going to be honest, just finished this morning. I finished the last episode. The only thing I knew about it was when I asked my sister, she told me, don't make you cry, don't watch it. And then later on, once I told her I needed to watch it because I was going to do this podcast, she said, okay, yeah, it's kind of like, the villains, their backstories are really sad, but everybody's a bad guy. So let me just say, surprised that it was about pirates, surprised when he was rubber. I knew none of this stuff. She didn't tell me any of that. I was just like,
I love that.
I see rubber. What was happening? So it was like, it was good. It was a good surprise, because, you know, I don't know if many people realize this, but I don't watch trailers on anything that I think I'm gonna mm-hmm. watch anyway. Mm-hmm. So if I thought I was going to watch this, I wouldn't have watched the trailer, so I wouldn't have got that part from it. But I just hadn't expected to watch it, so I just went in it probably about as blind as you could be about it. So
great. I mean, that's the way most of our guests have been, you know, going into it not expecting anything. And I mean, it's kind of what why we wanted to bring guests on for to like go over the live action, because that was what Ichiro Oda, the creator of One Piece, kind of wanted from the live action, is to introduce people to One Piece in a different way than just the manga or the anime. So that was kind of the goal here. So I mean, a lot of people are going to be coming into this show not having seen the anime and not having read the manga. So that's definitely why we wanted to bring some people on, to kind of get reactions from the people that haven't seen it. For sure. So, okay, we can go ahead and jump right into it. So, Amanda, let's start with you. What did you think of episode 6 as a whole?
I liked it a lot. Surprise, surprise. I pretty much like everything. But I had a good time with this one. And again, I think, I don't know, as compared to episodes 3 and 4, the Usopp Clahodor arc, compared to that one. I don't know if I liked this one better or not. But I liked that they also split this one into two so that we could tell all the story. I liked Sanji's backstory, how they did it in this, because it's a tiny bit different than it is in the anime, but I think it is the way that it is in the manga. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And I am glad that we got to see Arlong kind of to his, not his full potential, but we see what he's about here. And then it kind of sets up the last couple of episodes with what happens at the end.
Yeah, there was one thing with Arlong that I could not look past. So we can we'll get into that later.
There's a nit to pick. He's gonna pick it.
No, I mean that's key word there is pick. Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, I liked it as well. I've liked them more as they've gone on. Sanji's backstory, I think, is one of the most well done that we've seen so far. He's my favorite kid actor we've seen so far as well. He just absolutely nailed it. The accent was the same. The look was the same. The attitude towards Zeph was the same. It was nice to see how that started and to see a little bit more about Zeph because I love that guy. And it was an interesting change to see Arlong pop up at Baratier. But it worked for me. I thought that it was well done. And like Amanda said, it was interesting to see the little fight between he and Luffy, because we've seen Luffy make pretty light work of everybody so far. But this was kind of like a clear foreshadowing that it was going to be a lot harder for them to overcome. So I like how they did that with Arlong. And I think Arlong looks great to me. I think they did a really good job with the makeup, and the actor was fantastic. Just his whole demeanor, his stance, his walk, the music. I like all of that.
Absolutely. Brandy, what about you?
For me, I have to agree with Whitney. I really liked this child actor. I think that you can really see, like, what a pet peeve for me can be when I'm like, that kid looks nothing like they're going to grow up to look like this person.
Right.
So it really felt like, yeah, this could be him in the past. And I found it to be like a really compelling story. The whole, you know, he ate his leg thing, I did not know that was coming. And so that was a complete shock. I think that while it's not the one that made me cry, it definitely was, I think, the one that I was like the most like intrigued by and just like interested in for the backstories, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
for sure. Garrett, how about you?
You know, I actually really liked this episode, and I was just like watching the episode the first time around, knowing I was going to come on here, and I was like, man, I'm glad I'm doing this episode. I thought it was a really good episode for the series. Like I liked how the backstory for Sanji was like just like one solid like little part, and
instead of broken up
into pieces.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They just like knocked it out like that, and then continued with the bigger plot. And the action, the fight was really good. I really like how the show, like, it really feels like it actually brings anime to live action.
Yeah, it does. They've done a great job of that so far.
Yeah, the choreography is insane. And you can see that they've drawn from the anime, like the style with all the little moves that they do, especially I think with Sanji, with his kicks, they've really stayed true to his form, I think.
I haven't seen the anime once at all, like not clips or anything. So, like I kind of knew. I didn't know what Luffy's power was, but I knew there was something.
I'm sitting here like delaying my thoughts on the episode because I'm still trying to make up my mind.
While you try to think about that, I just wanted to say, I mentioned I came in not knowing any of this stuff, and I will say one of my favorite parts about the series was that you just kind of go in. They don't like there's not the exposition of like this is what happened. It's part of the story, which is why I got to have some of those surprises. And I just thought that all the people with different looks and everything were they ate the dragon fruit and they couldn't have, they couldn't swim. They need salt water. So then when Arlo comes in, he's in the water. I'm like, I'm confused. What is this? What are fish people? I didn't know any of this stuff. So it was yet another one where I'm like, I think I got this going down. And then this episode came and I was like, how's that guy swimming? I thought they couldn't swim. I thought they couldn't be in salt water. And yeah, that was a conversation after with my sister. And she's like, he didn't eat dragon fruit. She made me feel stupid, I'll be honest. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things that people for us who've seen the anime, we know who has eaten the fruit and who has not. And then when you watch the live action, I know a lot of people haven't seen the anime, but so many people have like super strength or like little things that like normal people can't do. And it's like, are they going to think that these people have eaten fruits as well? And I can see that that confusion is a real thing, but I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like they almost just kind of want you to accept it the way it is. You know what I mean? They're fish people. Don't worry about
Yeah,
it.
it's just like this is the world you're in, just like it's a part of it. And I think that they do that really well because sometimes you get in there and they'll explain some things, but they don't explain others. And other times they explain everything. And this one's just like you're gonna get in here, and it's just like if someone came to Earth and was like, "Oh, some people look like this, some people look like that. There's dogs, whatever." You just kind of get used to it. That's the way it is. No one's sitting there going, "This is a dog. This is what they do. This is why this girl looks like that." So I thought that part was pretty cool because I think it trusts the audience to get on board, even for a new one. I felt like they trusted me to be like, ask these questions, either find out yourself or just let us, let the story on like open, and you'll figure it out after that. So.
That's a good way to put it. They just trust you to get it. Yeah, I
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah, for sure. I like that.
They're not treating us stupid. They're not treating us like we're stupid.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. We don't need to spoon feed us everything.
Hold your hand through the whole thing.
Yep,
They're
absolutely.
kind of like if you want more information, we got like over 1,000 episodes for you to find
Yeah,
out.
here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's all your answers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, more
There's still
consumed
stuff that's
people
not
want.
being answered.
Right. That's kind of anime, though.
Yeah, I mean, and he does a great job with it. It's like, it's like a lot of questions he's absolutely answering, and answering them mostly pretty quick, but there's still some like overbearing questions that continue to haunt you throughout the show, and it just makes you like w it entices you to keep going more and more because you're like, I need to know what this is. I need to know what's going on here and where this event is going and stuff like that. It leaves a lot of cliffhangers throughout for sure that you're still just waiting on for
For
answers
sure.
or reactions or what kind of, cause and effect, what is this going to do for the show going forward, for the show or for the manga going forward. A lot of stuff like that for sure.
I will say, oh, sorry, just to
No,
jump
go
in,
for it.
that they do have that, but like I was saying, I think that they answer some questions or get you intrigued on a different way, pretty quick. It feels like a good pacing, you don't feel like I got all these questions and they're never answering anything. Or, hey, like I got this down and now we're just, gonna be like step by step here. So it made me, I think, really looking forward to, I don't know if I'd watch the anime just because 1,000 episodes is a lot, but it definitely made me look forward to like more seasons of the live action where I can feel like I'm in it from the beginning more.
This episode, I really enjoyed it. I think I liked l last week's episode more, so that's why it's like kind of gone back and forth for me. Like, yes, I enjoyed it, but how much did I enjoy it? Or did I enjoy it because episode 5 was just plain fantastic. And like sometimes like part of me is looking at this episode as a whole and thinking, yeah, a few things happened, but also not much happened. So I think that's part of it as well. Like, I mean, we got the Sanji flashback and we got the Arlong fight, and that's a that's about it. You know, so that's kind of what makes me think, yeah, it was good, but what all happened here? And so sometimes, you know, looking at it, I'm just like, I feel like there was just a lot of, I don't know. It almost made me feel like stuff that was in it doesn't matter as much, but I don't agree with that, even though I'm the one saying it, because I think a lot of the little conversations had a big impact in, like, you know, character development and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth on it still, but overall, yeah, I liked this episode for sure.
I think it moved the plot along a little bit. So, like, I think this is a good example of the kind of episodes that we can get in Marvel and Star Wars shows where they only cut it to 6 episodes and you need just a little bit more. And it might not be, like, so full of action and stuff like that, but you have enough time to, like, fill it out with exposition to the next part of the story. So I think that's kind of helpful.
Absolutely.
I just wondered if, you know, you said, like, you feel like maybe it's, you know, has, like, those two big elements and almost like maybe it's kind of pulled back a little bit. But what else could they add without it being too much? Because we've all watched those things where you're like, you're throwing all these things at me, so I can't feel like I can give everything the focus it deserves.
And that's the other thing, is you don't want it to be too overbearing either. Like, you don't want to throw too much at one time. So I don't know. I honestly, because, like, that's the thing. It's like, I can't even look at this and know what exactly I would have been looking for, or what I would do better. Because, I mean, like I said, I thought it was a pretty good episode, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, oh, well. Y'all ready to, like, dive into the scene-by-scene breakdown?
Yeah.
Cool. Luffy barges into the Baratie looking for a doctor. While Zeff refuses to help at first, Sanji's willingness to help pushes Zeff to act, and he uses his history as a pirate captain to treat Zoro's wounds. Garp walks into his office and finds Hawkeye Mihawk waiting for him. Even knowing that Garp would be angry, Mihawk informs Garp that he decided to let Luffy go to see what becomes of him as the next up-and-coming pirate. Garp threatens his immunity, but it's obvious that that does not matter to Mihawk. He does what he wants and when he wants, regardless. In a rage of fury, Garp destroys his office and begins laughing. Back on the Mary, Sanji cooks for the crew, but Luffy is refusing to eat until Zoro is awake again. He wants to make sure everything is ready for when Zoro finally wakes up. Garrett, we'll start with you. What do you think about the beginning of this episode here?
You know, I thought it was really cool. Like, freaking, what's his face? Mihawk.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, chilling in Garp's office. Just
yeah.
Up on the desk, just like, yeah, this is mine. Like, kind of attitude. And I was like those kind of characters. But I like how, I had a question because, like, Garp was saying the warlords, like, work for the world government. So are they, but they're not criminals, the warlords?
So it's essentially what it is they are government sanctioned criminals. So
gotcha.
Technically they are criminals, but the government has been like, you know what? You're so good at what you're doing. We will look past Or you're so good at being a pirate, we will look past you being a pirate if every once in a while you help us out, if we ask for help. Okay. So he's still a criminal. It's just, you know,
gotcha.
Like, kind of the government is turning a blind eye to him as long as whenever they call for help, he answers.
Yeah. So there was that, but I it was kind of cool that he was still like, yeah, but yeah. What you say don't mean nothing.
Exactly. Like, you can try to, like, shut me down if you want, but it's not gonna work. Like,
for sure.
Mihawk's a cocky motherfucker and I love him.
he looks awesome. That's so I'm a big sword guy, so that sword's phenomenal, man.
It does. It looks cool.
Whenever he, like, pulled up, I was like, last episode he, like, had the little cross. I was like, man, I feel like that means something. He pulled out that little sword instead of the big one. I was like, man, like, to see that fucking behemoth. Yep. But no, I really did take a notice. Like, Luffy was definitely out of character in the beginning of the episode. And, like, not eating, like, really showed, like, he's focused on helping out his buddy.
Yep, for sure. Amanda, what about you?
I thought it was a good start to the episode. I liked that we got to see that bit with Mihawk in the office, and then Garp freaking out again and doing that maniacal laughter that Whitney always talks about. And it said it in the captions too. It was like you just hear him in the background destroying things.
Nuts.
That snail sleeps like the dead. It was asleep the whole time. It was asleep on the desk. Probably, and then after he destroyed after he destroyed the whole room, I think it was still asleep, because you could see it, like the desk was kind of slanted and it was still kind of balanced on the desk, but its little eyes were kind of down. So that made me thought, thank you.
Damn, I forgot to look at the snail.
It's so funny. I look at it all the time now because of that one time that I noticed that it was sleeping. I liked that they had that little bit in there about the oregano is for savages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that comes up again later. And I agree. That stuff's really perfumey. You got to be careful with that. It's not nice if you use too much of it.
So,
I liked the title card had the curly eyebrow that Sanji has. That
I didn't even notice it.
I didn't notice that he had that until I saw all of this, like, backlash on the internet of people being like, live action Sanji doesn't have the eyebrow. I was like, what are you talking about? Because you can only see half of his face usually, because the way his hair is in the anime, so I didn't even really notice that. But
I do miss the curly eyebrow.
You do?
Is that what I do miss the curly eyebrow.
Oh my god,
it's classic Sanji.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, who cares about the suits and the kicks and the hands in the pockets? They didn't do any of that either, did they?
I mean, no, that's not. I mean, he's curly brows.
Sorry, Amanda. I didn't mean to take over your.
No, you're good.
Damn it, Whitney.
Totally fine. Those rice balls that he was making looked really good, though. Kind of want some.
Well, you heard it here. Amanda wants Sanji's balls.
Yep.
Hey, man, what's wrong with rice balls?
I didn't say nothing. I like rice. Brandy, how about you?
I did also really like the beginning of it. I'd say Mihawk being in there was good, because you saw him last episode and he's just, you know, so like I got like just cool, and you know, like I handle all the shit. I'm letting you give me some directives, I won't even say orders, and I'll decide what I'm gonna do with that. And so it was nice to see him with Garp, like his demeanor didn't change just because you had like a, you know, someone who's more established. And you know, I obviously Zoro is well known, but he pulled out that little knife. I'm on the opposite end of Garrett on that. For the last one, I thought when he pulled that out, I was like, wow, that's a big fuck you. I don't need this big sword. We'll just do this little one. And I was like, oh, that's badass. So to come in here and him to basically have that same energy with Garp was good to see. And then, you know, and then having Garp like just kind of go off the, you know, rails right after that just kind of showed you like sometimes that acquired energy has more control in there. But even if someone else is like the loud mouth. So just to kind of see that, I thought it was cool. And I don't know if we were talking about this part. I don't remember where it happened, but I also really like when they bring, is it Buggy? I don't know, Jeff Ward's character, which I have to say, it's really nice to see him. Haven't seen him in anything since Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's good to see him. But that ear thing was disturbing. I was like, as much as, you know, Luffy is messing with his hat, how do you not know that ear was in there? Like, disgusting. But yeah, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Whitney.
Saving me to last. I see how you do, Derek.
Yep, absolutely.
Just
letting you know, I haven't gone yet, so you're not last.
Oh, yeah. So I like, you know, they're moving straight into like where we left off. There was no time lapse or anything. They're taking care of Zoro. I like that they mentioned very clearly they need a doctor for anime people. They need a doctor.
Too bad Kai is not there.
Yeah.
All 3 hours of study that she has.
I'm going to be a doctor. So I love when it cuts to Zeph and Sanji. And of course, I love their banter, their relationship with each other. But I love the cooking shots. I think that is so interesting. Like, I'm not a cook. I don't like to cook. But I find it interesting to watch cooking shows and things like that. But I think it's so funny that universally working in a restaurant is so high stress, it seems like, to the point where I can't watch shows about it. Like, I can't watch The Bear, even though I've heard that it's fantastic. It makes me anxious and nervous. But you can see that with them, right? The chopping skills they have. And then, like you said, Zeph was initially kind of resistant to wanting to help for some reason. I'm not really sure why. I guess he's just cranky. But I wonder if the fish thing that they did for Zoro actually would work. Like the fish skin, is there something in that would actually help? Because I feel like I don't remember that being in the anime. So I feel like it had to come from somewhere. Like maybe that's a way that pirates actually dealt with it, or the Navy back in the old days or something.
I think I've heard about it being like a protective, you know, it won't maybe heal, but it can kind of like be a protective, kind of the way they like use
barrier.
It, like barrier, or just kind of like keep some moisture. I don't know. It just something in the back of my brain when you asked about it.
It makes sense because like fish scales are protective for the fish. And if you can, I mean, obviously Zeph can fillet a fish or skin a fish very easily and make sure that he doesn't ruin it. So I'm sure he could have actual whole strips and almost act like a bandage or gauze or something like that. But I just thought that was really interesting touch. But like Garrett was talking about Mihawk, I never had this attachment to Mihawk in the anime, even though he's only been in there a little bit. I love this guy so much just for that reason. He does whatever the hell he wants. And even though he didn't do what Garp wanted him to do, him being under the power of the government, I feel like he just didn't give a shit because he probably knew that Garp may have gotten in trouble for that or something. And people may have questioned, like, why did you send a warlord after your grandson, this skinny little pirate guy? Like, you're misusing resources. You know what I mean? So maybe he didn't have to worry about the consequences of not doing what Garp asked him to do. That's kind of just how I took it. But I like that Kobe now knows that Luffy is Garp's grandson because he's a little sneak. I don't know how, if this was in the part we've talked about so far, but does Luffy call Zoro's sword the one-eye itchy monkey?
Yeah, he said Wada, I think Wada Ichi Monkey.
Wada Ichi Monkey.
Wada Ichi Monkey, yeah.
Either way, it cracked me up because he's so, you know, for you two who don't watch the anime, he mispronounces or says the wrong word a lot. What was it he said in that one episode about condolences? He couldn't.
Yeah, I forget the word.
He was trying to say, oh, my condolences, but he kept saying the wrong word. It was so stupid. It's funnier than I'm making it sound, but
it was like my deepest constellations or something like that. I can't remember.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I can't. It was stupid, but it was fucking amazing. It was on our TikTok. I know we put that clip on our TikTok.
We
for
did.
Sure.
It is on the TikTok. We'll have to go back and watch it. Baby Sanji is so adorable. I love how feisty he is. He's, you know, he's not taking anybody's shit. And he's this tiny little child working in a kitchen. What the hell is he there for? Like child labor? Is he honestly just like an abandoned child that the pirates, or I guess, I don't know if these guys were pirates or if they were just on a ship, but.
My question is, why the hell are you up there in the middle of that storm cooking?
I mean,
they were on the ship. What are they supposed to do? Who's got to go out? That's the life of a chef.
I do wonder what happened to Sanji. Like, how did he get on that ship and where are his parents?
I mean, but I wonder why was he if alone? He's, yeah, maybe he was like a street urchin, like they called Luffy. And they just were like, okay, well, if you want to eat, you can come work for us and you'll be cheap labor.
I mean, was he alone though? Like, they don't really talk about it. Couldn't it have been like his family works there, he's
Could be.
interested
Oh, maybe.
and he works, and then I mean, like, that part's so small in it, before their, shipwreck. So I don't think we'd really get that part of it. Though he didn't seem to be like, oh no, everyone else is dead.
Yeah,
fair.
It leaves room for more.
That dude who was cooking next to him, he was like, shit, every man for himself, kid.
Yeah, they just seem to care about
Like,
him too much,
fuck
really.
you. Yeah. Go ahead, wait.
No, that was it.
Okay.
I know, I don't know if we've gotten this far yet, but old Zeph, like, or I guess young Zeph before the leg loss, seemed like such an a-hole. Which I guess as a pirate captain, you have to be sometimes. I don't know, but like he didn't seem very likable yet. So it's interesting to see where that went.
I
I
mean,
don't
I
think he
guess with
had
the
to be.
reputation like he had, that's.
True. And
But
maybe he
isn't.
was a different person back then. He's changed.
Yeah, maybe so.
I don't think you have to be, at least if, unless I'm understanding wrong, because is his name Shanks? Sinks or whatever.
Shanks,
Yeah,
yeah.
he doesn't
Wasn't
seem
very
to be
hot.
like an asshole pirate captain, but
Very
and
true.
I have to say, Whitney, I because it was in my brain, and as an animal person, I was like, this didn't, make me wonder, which is something that usually happens when I watch anything about animals, that you can use fish scales. It's an anti-inflammatory, and they put it on burns sometimes. So,
Oh, interesting.
that is cool.
Yeah, I
So,
like
good to
that.
know.
Quick off-topic question. So,
Yeah.
is Shanks some kind of badass?
Yeah, oh, he's the badass. We're just gonna, yeah, we'll just, yeah. Shanks is the
Right.
fucking
That
best.
makes
So,
sense. That
no.
kind of goes in with that Mihawk part where he's just kind of like, this is my life. Like, I don't have to be, the biggest, the baddest, and I'm so big, and tough. He's just kind of like, dude, I'm badass. I don't care. Just go do your thing. So,
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
Shanks and Mihawk are very, very similar, and both of them are the best, and they know, like, they don't need to flaunt it, you
Right,
know.
yeah.
They're just kind of there, and don't piss them off. Whitney, I know you mentioned you like cooking shows, so I was actually talking to Garrett a little bit about this the other day. One of my buddies recommended that watches a lot of anime. He recommended one to me the other day called Food Wars.
I think my
And
sister watches that. Sorry.
no, you're good. It's about like this 16-year-old kid that goes to this like high school in Japan, and it's one of the most like exclusive culinary schools in the world. And so he like constantly gets into like food battles with other people and is trying to raise the ranks to get to the top of his class. It's a really good show, and there's a shit ton of cooking, and it makes you very hungry watching it. Like
I feel like my kids mentioned that before, but I don't think she watches it. I've just heard her talk about it.
it's really weird though. So the writer of the show is like a former, he used to be a hentai artist. And so like when someone eats food that's really good, like all of a sudden their clothes just explode off, and it's really fucking weird. It's like the dean will like judge a dish or something like that, and they'll like take a bite, and all the students are like watching him, and they're like, it must not be that good, his clothes are still on.
Oh, that's so weird.
And yeah, so it's like really weird, but it's a really good show. It's like, it's the story is good enough and everything, and like the food looks delicious enough, you just kind of look past it. But I'm enjoying it so far. I'm on like season three now, I think.
Nice.
And I've only started watching it this week, so that tells you how much I've been watching
Yeah.
it. Have you all seen Cutthroat Kitchen?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I'm
I
a
don't
big.
watch many cooking shows, but that one's it's pretty cool.
That one's good. I'm a big Great British Bake Off person.
Okay.
It's my favorite. And Derek just stares blankly at
I mean, I don't know what would you like me to say, Whitney? Shit.
Cool. Just,
Cool.
yeah, or like acknowledge,
Badass.
I love
just like I
baking.
do when you tell me
Yeah.
about all the funny jokes you tell every day.
Those jokes are fucking hilarious, okay?
Okay.
What's actually happening, listeners, is she's laughing so hard that she's just not making any sound. It's just a bunch of blank air coming out. That's exactly what's happening.
Blank air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the fish skin to cover Zoro's wounds. I really liked that, but I also feel like if his skin starts growing and attaching to that fish skin, then he should become an honorary fishman. And Arlong just, you know, that's something Arlong might want to keep an eye on there.
Can you imagine Zoro as a fishman? He'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I really liked the scene with Mihawk, like, because he knew when he came back to talk to Garp that Garp was going to be pissed, you know, but he did it anyway just to kind of give Garp a middle finger, basically, you know, like, look, I didn't do what you told me to do. I'm not going to do it. And fuck you. That was about the extent of the conversation. And like, he, you know, Mihawk just knows, look, as good as you are and as legendary as you are, you can't stop me either, you know. And so I really, really liked that scene from Mihawk and just the cockiness that was there. And at the same time, you could tell he wasn't like stressed or worried at all. He was just relaxed and completely chill through the whole scene. I liked that Sanji started talking to Luffy about what it takes to be a pirate captain. And that's kind of like a theme of this episode, was, you know, the decisions that you have to make if you're going to be a captain. And like, and honestly, it was also kind of the theme that Luffy was kind of glazing over them a lot. Like, he wasn't taking them too seriously. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing, because maybe that's just meaning that high stress situations are not going to be something that gets to him. Or maybe it's going to be a bad thing. Maybe it's something where he's not taking anything seriously. So he's not taking his decisions seriously and not understanding the gravity of his decisions. I felt like, which this is a difference between the live action and the anime, because one thing I noticed in these episodes in the live action is we don't get as much, like, I don't want to say emotional Zeph, but like Zeph lightens up throughout the Baratier episodes in the anime. Like, not a lot, like, don't get me wrong, he's still, you know, a big grumpy asshole, but like, he has these moments where you can tell, like, he's, you know, really appreciative that Luffy is there, and he's, you know, happy to have Sanji around. And, you know, there are all these moments that Zeph has that they don't have in this live action. So Zeph talking to Luffy about what it takes to be a captain felt more like an anime Zeph thing than it did a live action Zeph thing. Cause like, here in the live action, he's kind of a grumpy old asshole. And I couldn't really see him like sitting and taking the time to talk to Luffy about that kind of thing. It just didn't sound like this particular Zeph. And so, yeah, that was kind of my notes going into it. Are y'all ready to jump into the flashback?
Can I just ask a question real quick?
Absolutely.
About just what you just said. I guess, and it could be having not seen the anime, I don't see how Zeph was, but obviously the live action doesn't have as many episodes, not even like even within the season. So I kind of got more like when you just get like that grumpy guy who's like got like a soft heart from Zeph, more than, you know, like, it sounds like maybe in the anime he softens, whereas I think that this time he just kind of is like, I have to kind of show it. And so maybe it's always just kind of there. And it's the same thing that I felt when you get the flashback with him and Sanji, where he's finally, you know, you see that part where he's like sacrificed himself so that Sanji can have food, but he's not going to tell him ahead of time. He doesn't want that. It's just like, I still have this hard exterior, but, you know, there's that nice guy underneath. I don't need to show it to you. My actions show it. That's how I felt about it. So
the flashback is like the perfect example of it. honestly. Like the flashback was very, very well done, because that is Zeph. Like, he's a grumpy asshole, but sometimes when it comes time to sit down and explain something or teach someone a lesson about, you know, being a pirate captain or being a good cook or whatever it is, it's like the flashback where, sure, he's an asshole all the other times, but he's going to sit down and have a good conversation with you about things that actually matter. Okay. You know, in conversations that actually matter, he's more likely to have a conversation than he is to, you know, tell you to shut up and get off the, you know, the cooking line or whatever. So the flashback was a much better relation to anime Zeph than the like present day Zeph was. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, because I just, you were saying that, and I was like, okay, just kind of tying that in with what you were also saying about, like, Luffy, and I don't think it's good or bad that he didn't, you know, like, take things seriously. I don't, I think it's kind of more like, yeah, those high-stress situations won't get to him, but you also need to see that he does take it seriously. I think that was important to see, and having Zeph kind of talk to him about it. It felt like, I guess I just kind of felt like something I would expect to see. And it might be just like not having that history with them. And I just saw what they presented, which was this grumpy guy, but you can also tell he cares, but that he's not going to say like, I care. And I get that from him a lot more than I get from like Garp, where I just feel like, oh, what the hell he's after. But, so.
Yeah. And I think that
I like your insight.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate all the questions and everything. I appreciate your insight as well. And I think they did a good job showing of like Zeph's hard exterior while also like you were talking about, like, kind of, you know, there's a soft heart down there somewhere. And I think in the anime, it's just they shell out that soft heart just a little bit more than, you know, you actually see it more than rather than just thinking, you know, it's there, we just haven't seen it, but it's there, you know, it's that kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, anything else before we jump into the flashback? Cool. Yeah.
See, that's how it feels.
Sanji reveals to Luffy that Zeph is also known as Redfoot Zeph. He used to be one of the most feared pirate captains on the seas. 9 years ago, Sanji was a cook on a ship that was attacked by Redfoot Zeph and his crew. During the raid, a storm hits and sinks both of the ships. Zeph and Sanji are the only survivors and are stranded on an island together. Zeph splits up the food and tells Sanji to wait on the other side of the island to look for a ship. After 70 days of being stranded, Sanji is well out of food and decides he is going to kill Zeph and take his food. When he gets over there, he realizes that Zeph gave him all of the food. He then sees that Zeph has survived by cutting off his own leg and eating it. The two share the dream, and Zeph has realized that he will not be able to fulfill it, so he is leaving it to Sanji to find the All Blue. 15 days later, the two are rescued. One of the biggest things that stood out to me, well, two big things stood out to me, is they chose to go the manga route here, which I really liked. So in the manga, Zeph eats his leg off, just like they show here in the live action. But in the anime, because it is, you know, it is a kid's show, like, they got rid of that part. So in the anime, Zeph dives in the water to rescue Sanji after he fell in the water, and his leg gets caught by debris. And so he cuts his leg off so he can still save Sanji. So either way, he loses his leg, but eating his own leg is, let's face it, that's that's a little bit more impactful.
That's savage.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah. And so this way... Huh?
He didn't even cook it.
Nope, he put oregano on.
That's correct. I mean, But yeah, so like it was cool to see it play out how Oda originally wrote this scene and not how it was, like, you know, kind of calmed down a little bit, I guess you would say. So I really liked that they went the manga route. As the flashback was starting, that was one of the things I was excited about, because like I didn't even think about it until the flashback got there. I was like, which way are they gonna go? And when they first got onto the island, I was like looking at Zev. I was like paying attention. I was like, he's standing, he's got both legs here, he's definitely gonna eat that bitch. So like I was really, really paying attention to see which route they were gonna go with it.
And that's a huge sacrifice.
It really is. And especially,
he literally talked to for 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the leg. That was his dominant leg, too. Like, that's the leg he used to, that's the foot he used to fight with, also.
Oh, is he like a kick dude?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's why, like, Sanji fights with his feet, huh?
Exactly. Sanji adapted his fighting style from Zeff. But 85 days is what they went with in the live action.
So my wife had watched this episode with me. She hasn't seen anything else. And she said right now, why the fuck would he eat his dominant leg?
I mean, I kind of wondered the same thing.
Good question.
Why, like, did he? I guess more muscle? More meat?
Maybe
that's not what you want when you're eating. Maybe you don't want more. That's the part that you want, more flab and fat. Like, that tastes better. You're like, I want it to be tough.
Is it more nutritious?
Yeah, especially if it's raw.
I was going to say, so they mentioned that he was called Redfoot Zeff because his foot is stained with the blood of his enemies. Maybe the staining or maybe the extra blood was like sauce or something. Maybe just, I heard something at the back there.
Oh, gross.
You never know. Maybe it was something like that. You know, maybe just, it's not blood, it's barbecue.
Okay.
But yeah, I felt like the 85 days was a little bit much.
Is it fish blood? Fish blood might taste different.
Sure. We'll say yes, Garrett. We'll just say yes to make sure you and your wife feel better about it.
Oh, I have no quarrel. I don't care.
But yeah,
how long is it in the anime or in the manga?
45. So they extended it out an extra 40 days.
Oh, long ass time.
It is. Dang. That's a lot of extra time.
70 days. That bread looked moldy.
Yeah,
it was moldy.
Like, I mean, if you think about it, 85 days, that's right under 3 months that they were on that island. That's a long ass time. And I was surprised that I already felt like the anime was a long ass time. So when I saw that they extended it out past that, I was like, shit.
How did his leg not expire?
I mean, you know, as long, I feel like
so bad.
He probably ate it bit by bit. That way, you know, as long as it's still attached, it's still fresh, you know?
Yeah, I had wondered about that, I'll say.
Ate it like did he cut it off all in one go, or was it small pieces at a time?
I was going to say small pieces at a time, like a deli, you know, just a little bitty slice at a time.
There's this part in Dragon Ball Z whenever Gohan, he's been dropped in the wild as like a little kid. And he's like slicing off this T-Rex's tail like every day, just a little bit, goes and gets him a little steak slice, and then comes back the next day for another part of his tail.
I feel so bad for that fucking T-Rex.
I'm sorry, I think that you gotta go bit by bit, because first of all, could you imagine having cut off your whole leg and then you got saved and you're like, I could have just survived on a toe. Like, so I think you just gotta go by little bit. So
like one toe at a time.
I think that's a great point. I think you're probably right, Brady. It must have been bit by bit.
Bro, his pain tolerance is insane.
For real.
Yeah.
It's a wonder he didn't go into shock or something.
I mean, how did Sanji not hear him, bro? Like,
that's what I was thinking. Sanji didn't hear him over his own hunger.
Bro's just sitting there.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's loud up there, though, because
all the water and everything.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just thought, like, obviously we see why Sanji's not a captain. He never thought, like, take a leg. He was like, I'm gonna kill Zeph. I'm gonna go do it. He's like, he's got food. I'm going. So yeah.
He's like, fuck that guy. Oregano is for savages.
Right.
And that was
why, like, why some kid got such a beef with oregano, man.
I really liked little Sanji's attitude though, because I had the one quote here from him that I absolutely loved, like right after we meet him, and because it was right after the oregano is for savages line, and Zeph was like, wait, you made that? And Sanji said, better than anything you can make, you old shit bag. And I love that. I was like, this kid's great.
He grew up in a kitchen. He's like, I know, gotta be tough.
Yeah, exactly. Amanda, we could start with you.
Yeah, that was, I didn't remember that the time was shorter in the anime that they were stuck on the rock island.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I also didn't think about this at the time watching that in the anime, but maybe it was just because you could tell how young this kid is. But he, like, I don't know any child that would behave that way, like, once stranded. Like, he was just, I feel like a regular kid would be crying the whole time. I mean, he was, maybe he was, we didn't see it, but he just kind of, he felt like an older person, because he's, when he finally decides that he's going to go over and kill Zeph and take his food, even the way that he's, like, talking to Zeph, it's kind of, you don't expect that to come from a kid. You would kind of expect him to be, like, whining and, like, I just want to get out of here. Like, why can't you do anything? Help me, or something like that. But he's just one-track mind, which was kind of interesting. Yeah, I don't think I have too much else besides we were kind of talking about the whole leg process there, so that was good to think about.
That's the important part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whitney, what about you?
I forgot to say earlier, when they were still in the kitchen before the ship crashed, I thought you were going to say the quote that I had written down, but you didn't. That one was a good one too, but he, little Sanji tells Zeph, I'd rather die than have you season my food. Which is such a badass thing to say for a little kid. I love that. And I love how that continues. Like he said, that he called him a shitbag. He still calls him a shitbag. And I was watching Real Rejects on YouTube, watch this show, as I have every episode. But they likened their relationship to that of Star-Lord and Yondu. Like, okay. They were really hateful to each other, but he really did care for Star-Lord. I thought that was a really good comparison.
That is.
Of those two. But when they were marooned on that island, which is like a real nightmare to me, because I hate the ocean anyway, but this is, we're seeing now, this is why they feed the hungry. This is why they don't turn anyone down, or at least Salty. And just looking at like the makeup and the weathered look and the sunburn and the dry lips and just all of that, it made it so believable that they were starving. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I was watching this little boy and I was like, yeah, he looks like he's been marooned on an island for 2 months. So they did a really good job. It made me anxious, even though, you know, he gets out of it because he's alive. It just, you know, for somebody who doesn't know how the story goes, I feel like that would make me anxious about what was going to happen. Because at this point, we don't know Zeph. And it's like, is he going to kill the little boy and eat him? Like, what's he going to do? And luckily it turned out the way it did. But I like how when he discovered that Zeph had eaten his own leg and he's like, why'd you do that? You don't know me, all this stuff. And you can see that Zeph is kind of, he's reconciled the fact that he's the old generation and now he's passing along to the next generation what their dreams are, because he has the dream of the All Blue, and that's kind of why he decided to save Sanji's life, right? And I like when they cut back to the present and Luffy said that he'd eat both arms and legs to save someone's life. Matter of fact. And I believe it, which makes me wonder, can you eat Luffy?
He'd probably be pretty chewy.
Yeah, because I know you can cut Luffy, but could you chew him? I guess it depends on how sharp your teeth are.
Yeah. I feel like Arlong probably could.
Arlong could do it, but then once it's in his stomach, I don't know what happens. Does it digest? Does rubber
Maybe it's
digest?
like gum. It just sits
Just
there
comes
for
out.
so
I
many years or
mean,
whatever.
originally it breaks down, but.
Huh. That's another interesting debate.
Well, someone go eat a rubber band and tell me how long it stays there.
Don't do that.
No, I'm gonna
Don't
pass.
do not do that. Anybody listening?
So we're gonna
Not
get
liable. We're
sued.
not liable.
I
Yeah,
it's
go ahead. Let us know how that goes.
Yeah, you tell us, Derek.
Derek, 20 years later, I think it's still in there.
Yeah.
It never came out, so.
Well, I mean, like, technically, you know, things say, they say, oh, it's going to sit in your stomach for 7 years. It might not break down, but it doesn't stay in your stomach. It
Yeah,
doesn't, like,
it'll
get
come
there
out.
and stick. I mean, like, you might be like, oh, I mean, my dog has eaten enough things that he should not have that I found later. And I'm
Yeah.
like, oh,
And you know what it
awesome.
is because it looks the same, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 7 years
It's
later, and I'm like, why does that turd have a rubber band wrapped around it?
I will say,
Ew.
mine were like those earplugs that you get. I used to have a job like that, and a previous dog I had ate them, and it was just like one turd and then the string and the other. And I was like, well, that's where my earplugs
That's
went. So,
crazy.
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Derek just eats like 1,000 rubber bands and poops out one of those rubber band balls you can buy at the store.
The world's largest rubber band ball to ever come out of an asshole.
Ouch, good luck.
I hope that you could just have like a one rubber band ball and that win that record. Like, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
I
otherwise,
there's
Godspeed.
someone that's like shooting for it, and you just see him sitting there and they just flexing their abs over and over again. And they're like, what are you doing? They're like, I'm trying to wrap up the rubber bands in my stomach.
Just call Guinness, and Guinness is like,
Just
you didn't have to eat 800 rubber
yeah,
bands. You could
you
have ate
got
two, and already won the record, I guess. I don't know.
yeah.
Sitting there like taking a picture, like ready to send it to Guinness, and just like clicking.
Sir, this was not necessary.
Not everything needs to be a world record.
Why did you send us a picture of your toilet? It's what's in the toilet. Oh, I'm so glad we've discussed that now. Anyway.
I blame that on Derek and Whitney.
I'll take the blame for
Yeah.
that one. Garrett, what about you?
I mean, it was a good scene. I liked how it, like I said in the beginning of the episode, like they just played out the entire backstory just right there for us, didn't.
I didn't even think about
And
that. I really like that they did that, like you said. Yeah.
yeah, they
Because
didn't
every
fiddle
other one's been
around.
in pieces, right?
Yep.
That's a good point.
No, just eating your own leg to save some kid that you don't even know, strictly to fulfill the dream that you never got to fulfill, like, that makes me one hell of a dream, man. Like, and like I feel like that. You see Sanji's gratitude towards Zeff, no, along like, because Sanji's kind of an ass to him, but Zeff is also an ass to Sanji throughout the episode. But like you can see that Sanji does have a great amount of gratitude towards Zeff. Oh,
Absolutely.
and that mustache, that's phenomenal.
Isn't that great? I love his
I love
mustache.
how it bounces when he talks.
Oh, and I do remember y'all said last episode about his hat getting tall. His hat was fucking tall.
Yeah, especially in the scene where he like walks in to talk to Arlong. It's like, damn, that thing is touching the second story here. Brandy, how about you?
Yeah, so I just to kind of touch on what you guys have mentioned with the flashback being all as one, I think that might be some of why it's more impactful than the previous ones because we got to kind of see it fully play out without the cuts into other things or and so I
Nothing to
just,
pull you out of the scene.
yeah, and so while I think that overall, I think it's just a better flashback, I do think that it plays a better part because you get to see the whole thing and how it affects them now. So, and I know someone asked, like, why are you cooking in a raid? Or why are you cooking in like a storm? Why are you raiding a ship in a storm? Like, you're an adult. And so they're raiding, and then next thing you know, they're shipwrecked. And he probably was like, should have been on my own ship or something like that. So I had kind of been wondering why that was so important at that time. But and I do like that, like when they're marooned, I do like that it's not like an island. You can't sit there, like the way it's built, you're not sitting there going like, why don't you just fish? Like, how am I supposed to fish? It's so out of the water. Though I did question how they got up there. Also, like, there's no way to really, it really, you know, there's nothing to plant on. There's nothing else they can do. You can see why the choices they made, you know, either eating your leg or deciding like, I'm gonna steal the food. Those were the last resorts because there was nothing going on the island. And is it just me, or does anyone else feel like the fact that they are like chefs and so into food, Zeph's sacrifice of eating his own legs like raw was even bigger? Like, yeah, he did the piece by piece, but if you love food, are you sitting there being like, I had to eat this thing that I shouldn't be eating? You know, like, I've known some cooks who are like, and I'm a picky eater, I couldn't imagine. And to be like someone who has like that kind of palate, like, that felt like an even bigger sacrifice than say, yes, I do believe that Luffy would do it, but he also eats everything. He eats all the time. So it, I think it kind of would lose a little bit. But like, oh, thank you for that sacrifice. But also, you know, you eat
Yeah, I see
everything,
what
you
you're
know?
saying.
Yeah. So,
That's a good point. I could agree with that.
And I think that like, him sacrificing his leg and everything, we talked about that, but I think you see it a little bit. I know we're kind of jumping ahead. At the end, you see Zeph still sacrificing for Sanji to have his dream. You know, first it was a leg, and now, you know, it's having him around. Like, he wants him to go, even if that means kind of pushing him away. And so I still see, like, he still is. I think that's why I kind of asked about the, you know, him softening when I just saw more like that tough exterior, because that's how I felt like watching the whole episode. Like, even in the end, he's like, I want you here, but I know you need to go for you. And so it's still sacrificing, even all these years later. So, yeah,
Absolutely.
perfect. Yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah.
I also one line that I kind of enjoyed right after the flashback kind of gets back to the present day was when Sanji asked Luffy, he's like, do you know what it's like for someone to give up a limb for your life? And I was like, hey, that's probably the only person in the world that does know what that's like. You know,
Yes.
huh?
I said,
It's
yeah, he does.
yeah.
The Forrest Gump-like moment right there.
I know, it was great. I was like, you are talking to the right dude here. All right. Anything else before we move on to the next scene?
Ready. I
Cool.
was just gonna say, actually,
Yeah.
real quick, I know a lot of people are talking about Sanji as a kid and just kind of like his attitude and being a little bit more older. I guess I just kind of went with that. I've known probably myself and some others who are like a little bit more serious kids, or a little bit, I think, focused. And I think when you have a dream and you know what you want to do, at whatever age, that dedication that he would have would also put him in situations where he was probably around adults more. And so it kind of just went with what I was expecting. So it didn't take me out at all to just be like, this is a kid who's, I don't know how old he's supposed to be, but he's obviously has known what he wants to do, and we see later that he's never wavered from that. So this would be someone who's like, if you're going to be in the way of my dream, then old man, you got to go. And he would be the type to kind of talk to him about it, even though I will say he was a little whiny. I have to when they first were marooned and he wanted to know, why do you get more food? That was a little whiny. So I still get to see the kid part of it, which is always great. So
Yeah,
yeah, that makes
absolutely.
sense, because
Perfect.
like, a kid who would work as hard as Kid Sanji was working probably wouldn't behave like a normal kid anyway. So that makes
Right, yeah.
sense.
You know, and
Man,
I think
working
it.
on a pirate ship, you're gonna get shit from everybody, so.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
that
it
didn't go
like
out
it. It's
fast.
not on the pirate ship. And it might even go deeper than that, like to a time before what we saw, too, you know, depending on how all of that played out as well.
Right,
Yeah,
yeah.
like trauma can mature a kid
Absolutely.
real quick.
Or just taking on, like, you know, even if it's not trauma, taking on any kind of like what would be considered like adult responsibilities. If you have to work at a young age, then you might be like, okay, I'm gonna work, but I don't want it to be like this thing. You know, it could, I think that could also mature people a lot. So
For sure.
Absolutely.
that was all.
Okay, cool. Sanji realizes that while Luffy definitely has the right heart, he still has a long way to go when it comes to realizing the gravity of his decisions he will have to make in the future as captain. Nami reads the story of Mont Blanc Nolan to Zoro as he lays unconscious. Luffy walks in at the end of the story and takes a different point from it, which also causes Nami to question if Luffy has the right mindset to make the tough decisions in the future. Garp tells Kobe how hard he worked to teach Luffy to be a proper Marine, but he was too stubborn to listen. Kobe reminds him that nothing he could have done would have changed the outcome and changed Luffy's mind. While he has a good heart and a good head on his shoulders, he's a pirate, and nothing's going to change that. He will always be a pirate. Back at the Baratie, Arlong, Kurobe, and Chu arrive. Nami runs back to the ship and tells Luffy that they need to leave, but Luffy has other ideas. They're going to stick around and help Sanji defend the Baratie from the Arlong pirates. Garrett, we'll start with you again.
I thought it was kind of cool. I remember y'all have mentioned like people like Nami has gained like respect for Luffy like throughout the episode in certain spots, and like this was kind of Sanji's spot whenever Nami comes in and tells him that Arlong's like attacking the restaurant and stuff, and Sanji's asking Luffy's like, well, why are you coming to help? This isn't your fight. Luffy's like, you fed us, man. And so like you can just see Sanji's like, oh damn, I mean, this dude's very wholesome. But Nami did seem to lose respect for like Luffy's decision making based off of this.
I thought it was pretty interesting because it's like for the first five and a half episodes, Nami has been waiting for Luffy to show that he's a different kind of pirate, you know. And we've had little bitty things here and there. And now that he wants to go out of his way to help someone, and she's actually seeing that he's not going to run like a normal pirate would, or like a normal person would. Now that she sees that he's exactly what she's been waiting to see, she's against it and she's mad about it.
He's someone who's not going to just think about himself. He's going to think about everybody else.
Exactly. So I did think that was interesting to see. Sorry about it. And I just that was one of my notes, and I was like, you know, this is right up Garrett's alley.
No, yeah, it was really cool.
Whitney, what about you?
I like that they established pretty early how strong Arlong was, because obviously by the end of the episode, the fight is not really over with him. They get away and Luffy gets saved. But I like that it wasn't, like I said earlier when you first asked about the whole episode, that it was going to be a lot harder for them to defeat him than it had been for everyone else. I also like when they were asking for Luffy, and Zeff is just like, I ain't no snitch. I'm not gonna tell you where this guy is. And he has no tie to Luffy whatsoever. So why he's choosing to take up for Luffy is beyond me. But I guess it's just because Zeff is probably a decent guy, right? Have we got to the fight yet?
We haven't got to the actual fight, no.
Okay. So I was going to ask a question, but I don't know. I feel like Kobe's story is evolving still. I've said it before, I really like his character development. I like that we have more of him in the live action than in the anime because he's better in the live action, in my opinion. But yeah, Garp is so strange to me. He's still an enigma because we know why he's going after Luffy now, but it's like at this point, you don't really know his intentions. Like, what's he going to do if he catches him? And what's Kobe going to have to do? What kind of decision is Kobe going to have to make? Because he obviously cares about Luffy. I don't know that Kobe would be where he is now without Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably definitely wouldn't be.
I don't think he would be
stuck on Alvida's ship, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that he basically was like, well, even if he is a pirate, would that be the worst thing in the world? I mean, is it really that bad?
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like Garp just kind of feels like he failed Luffy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what his issue is. He wants to make sure that he didn't. Like, he wants to make sure that Luffy's safe, or that's what I'm hoping for, that he has good intentions instead of bad. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'd like him a lot less if it was bad.
Maybe like, kind of a parenting thing where he's still holding out hope that Luffy will end up on the right side of the law and
mm-hmm.
and helping put away criminals instead of becoming a criminal himself.
Right. Because he doesn't differentiate between criminal pirates and other pirates, right? Mm-hmm. To him, pirates are pirates,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a theme of the show, I guess, is you think you know what pirates are. Well, you meet this one. he's different than all the other ones, mm-hmm. except for Shanks, you know, but yeah, I'm sure that's hard for him to reconcile as a parent. When you see your kid doing something that you don't agree with, it's hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten to the dog hat?
No.
Almost. The dog hat is the best, though. I love the dog hat.
That was I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it was funny.
It looks a little bit sillier in the live action than it does in the anime. Because, like, in the anime, it's like it puts a shadow over his face, so you can't really see his eyes when he's wearing it. So it's like it adds a little bit of mystery to him. And in the live action, he just looks like a goof.
Like, it looks like it's just a little bit too small.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little, yeah.
It looks like a freaking pug headband.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog hat was definitely one of those things where I was like, coming into it, like, why does he have this? Or is it the episode where they had like Mary, and I was like, why is that guy's head like kind of like a lamb? I don't understand those kind of things. And I was like, is this guy kind of like a dog? I don't understand what's going on. Just watch the show. So
this is a world unlike any other.
I still don't know what Mary was. Like,
maybe
I don't
just like one of those fashion designers that wears like incredible outfits that nobody mm-hmm. understands, and that was just his deal, you know.
Yep.
In my notes, I literally just wrote dog hat.
Dog hat.
Brandy, what about you?
So I guess going off of just like Garb and Kobe, just to start off, kind of transition.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, I always kind of felt like, especially once I found out that Garb is Luffy's grandfather, I think it's mm-hmm. one of those things where for him, like, he's got a plan on what he wants Luffy to do, and Luffy's not following that plan. I think it's just kind of like those, you know, like those parents who are like, this is what you should be doing, and anything that ventures off of what I told you to do or what I think you should do is wrong. And he can't see, like, instead of seeing Luffy as dedicated, he's just seeing him as stubborn, and I have to figure out how to make him do what I want, because what I want is right. And so I think that then you come in and you see Kobe who's saying, like, no, he's, you know, he's a dedicated person. He's a pirate. That's what he's always going to be, because that's what he wants. And you saw that, like, in their brief amount of time together, that not only did Luffy be like, I'm going to be a pirate, but you can be, you know, a Marine. And hey, if we have to be on opposite sides, then later on, we at least are on opposite sides, but we both like reached our dream. And so I think that's why he wants to be there and is kind of like giving a little bit of pushback to Garb, because he's saying, you know, for Luffy, this is what I want to be, and you be what you want to be. And even if that puts, like, that's very rare to be mm-hmm. like, what you want is completely opposed to what I'm going to be, and yet still let's support each other in that. And so I think that that's kind of like the, I don't know, the like the greatness about the essence that is Luffy, is that, you know, he is so dedicated to people reaching their goals and their dreams. And to kind of go from that, I think while we're talking about like Nami and how she's feeling about Luffy, I think that started last episode when she wanted him to, you know, stop Zoro. But he's like, oh, that's his dream. Let him do it. And so I think that's where that's kind of coming from. She's a little bit upset about that already. And it's really kind of going over because here, once again, Luffy's not taking this as seriously as she thinks that he
He should be.
should. Yeah. And you also see, like, yeah, she does want him to be a different type of pirate. She does want to see him do something different. But she also has her own history, her own traumas, whatever's going on. And that's affecting how she thinks people are going to react and should react. We've seen that with her in the past when she's talking about how all rich people are a certain way and all those things. And so that's really just kind of, I think, once again, those past traumas are kind of affecting how she's seeing other people's actions. And Luffy, you know, some just aren't seeing him as being as taking it seriously, kind of like what Derek and I talked about before. And I think when it comes to people's goals, he's very black and white about it. Like, if you have a goal, regardless of what it is, go for it. And I will support you in your dream, as long as you're not hurting anybody, which, you know, is a little bit naive and innocent, but also, you know, kind of beautiful, I guess, in a weird way. So I think that's why he draws people to him with the dedication. But I'm sure it's very frustrating when you want him to do something else and he's not going to, you know, like, no, this is what I got to do. And he is stubborn and dedicated. And I can see, like, how everybody around him, you kind of seen this in the episodes, like from Garb to Zoro to all of them, are like, this is what I want you to do. And you're not doing it. And he kind of just, like, slowly wears them down in
Yeah,
a
he's just
respect,
like,
with the exception of Garb. So, yeah, I
yeah.
think, yeah.
Well, and Nami says too, not everybody gets to follow their dreams. And so a little bit of that might be bitterness or resentment. Like, you just don't understand. You just do what you want and you follow your dreams and you tell everybody else to do it and don't realize that not everybody has that choice.
True. And I think it's like seeing those things. And seeing that in this episode where you get to re see Zeff, who he didn't really like, yeah, he didn't find the blue, or I don't
The
remember
all
what it's called,
blue.
the all blue. He didn't reach that goal, but he's also, you know, has set a different one for himself. He's no longer a pirate, you know, he's no longer a captain. Now he's a chef. That's obviously something that was important to him. And so he kind of reached this new dream that he has. And so while he, like when you guys talked about, like, you know, he was loyal or he didn't snitch on Luffy. I think, like, you know, hey, he did feed Luffy, but he also made him work for his food. But he didn't say anything when Sanji let that other guy, when he found out that Sanji let that other guy eat for free, he just kind of made a comment and moved on. And I really was like expecting Sanji to get in trouble later. And then you see him just kind of be like, eh, like kind of praised him for it. And I think that's why he helped, like that talk with Luffy where Luffy stuck up for Sanji is when he decided, like, this is someone who deserves, like, he didn't have a lot of time, but he, I think he saw something good in him. And that's why he didn't, you know, snitch on him. Like,
Yeah,
so.
that's a good point.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something that it gets hollowed out a lot more in the animes. Not only the relationship with Sanji and Zeff, but Luffy and Zeff. I mean, because the which we still see the results are like the effect of what Sanji and Zeff being stranded on this island has. Like, we still see the end result, but it's like, and I know we talked earlier about they're not spoon feeding us everything, which I appreciate, but also I kind of feel like this is something that could be spoon fed a little bit more in terms of the deeper meaning and the deeper relationship that Sanji and Zeff have because of what they went through together and what that has caused them to be now, in terms of their mindset every day, in terms of the way they think about food or the way they think about customers and stuff like that. Because while we do see a little bit of it, it's just that extra layer of it is something that was kind of missing in this, I think. Did you have anything else on it, Brandy?
I was just thinking, like, okay, with the food, obviously they know what it's like to be hungry. So if you're hungry and you need a meal, then of course they would feed you. If you've just eaten a bunch of things and then you try to give them an IOU for later, understandably not as okay with that. So I think that part kind of plays back, like, with you making those connections there. The one I didn't know until talking with you guys is that I didn't know why he was called, like, Red Foot. I saw blood on, and I thought it was on both feet, so I didn't understand with the dominant leg or anything like that. I didn't know that he, you know, that Zeff fought or anything and could do those kicks. I definitely watched this episode being like, where did Sanji learn to fight? Like, there's nothing about that. Like, they didn't ever say, like, I learned to fight from Zeff. He taught me. There's nothing. I was just like, I don't know where he learned to fight. And as far as you know, he's just like a cook. We haven't seen that part at all. And there's been no tie. So that one for me was more where I wish they had given me more information. Some of the other, as far as, like, you know, feeding people or the importance of the kitchen, I think there's a passion, and you saw they both were a passion. There was a passion there. And then you understand that they've been hungry, so they would know, like that maroon pirate, they would know what that was like. So
And yeah, because Zeff fights a couple times in the anime, so, like, even seeing Sanji's fighting and comparing it to Zeff's fighting is something that's I don't want to say completely obvious, but it's pretty obvious that they have the same fighting style in the anime. But yeah, and in the live action, we don't really see Zeff fight. I mean, we see him shoot the gun later, and that's really it. Other than that, I don't even think he throws a single, well, I mean, I know he doesn't throw a punch because Zeff doesn't punch, but I don't think we see him kick anybody. So that was definitely something else that was different, for sure. Amanda, what about you?
I thought that the beginning of this section was interesting, where Nami is reading to Zoro, because that did not happen in the anime. And I think I mentioned this last week that we're kind of getting a little bit more bonding time between them, which is nice. Because anime, Nami would never have done that, I don't think. Like, she does not give a shit. Like, she, I can't imagine her, like, reading a nice, not a night, well, I just can't imagine her telling a story to somebody who's kind of out, like, at this point in the story.
At this point in the anime, I think you're right. Like, at the point we're at now when I watched her, I definitely think she would, but,
yeah.
But yeah, at this point in time, no, I would agree with you.
Yeah, I liked that scene. I also liked her shirt a lot, the little, like, palm tree shirt. I want one of those. And then the part with Kobe and Garp, that was kind of, that was interesting, that it seemed like Kobe was able to figure that out about Luffy, that, you know, like, is that really the worst thing for him to do what he wants in life? And then we don't really know, at least Whitney and I don't at this point, how involved Garp was in Luffy's life when he was a kid. So just to see that Kobe was able to figure that out with the really short time that he knows Luffy, and then kind of had to explain that to the man who's his grandfather, was an interesting thing. And he, at the end of that conversation, you could tell that Kobe was a little bit hopeful. Like, he was thinking, oh, okay, maybe I've convinced Garp that he can kind of stop this whole chase. But that is not the case. So I think that's all I had for that part.
Okay.
Does Garp know that Luffy is not, like, out there being, like, an asshole pirate?
You know, honestly, at this point, I don't know that he does. I mean, I know that I think he knows that Luffy has a good head on his shoulders and he's not going to be an asshole to someone just because. But, like, also, I think he sees the trail of havoc that Luffy is leaving behind him. And, like, you know, between Orange Town, even though it wasn't necessarily
he is drawing
all Luffy. So. Yeah, exactly. And, like, breaking into the fort and screwing that place up early. And then everything that happened in Certain Village, like, Luffy is leaving a trail of carnage behind him, for sure. So yeah. I think maybe it's not necessarily that he thinks Luffy's... I think he just sees the carnage and is not necessarily thinking about the events that are happening to cause it. He's just thinking he's causing it, you know? Kind of a very vague mindset is the way I would say it probably is.
Yeah, and I think the Marine base is really what set him off, because... Mm-hmm. As a Marine, that's probably one of the worst things that you could do to him. And I don't know that he knows about him setting the people free at the one that Buggy, Orangetown.
Yeah.
Orangetown. He just knows that he was there and he defeated Buggy. So the fact that he's defeating other pirates, I don't know, really matters to him as much as the word of mouth.
Yeah. So.
And I kind of see it like, for him, it's not so much about like what type of pirate is Luffy. It's like Luffy is a pirate and I told him to be a Marine. And exactly. So once again, it's just they're the same, just as black and white as it. Mm-hmm. You're not doing what I want. And so even if everybody was, if he wasn't causing all these things, I felt like it was more like finding out like, I told him not to be a pirate. And then someone said he was a pirate and they could have been like, this pirate came and let us out. And he was like, why are you a pirate? Like it didn't matter at that point. And then this is just like that carnage in the background that is kind of going is a little bit just like adding insult to that injury. And I, you know, obviously he underestimates Luffy a little bit. And I think, you know, I feel like he knows, like really knows that Luffy's like, has a good heart. So he's not going to expect, you know, Luffy to be out there like, you know, killing like some other pirates and doing all those other things. Mm-hmm. But if anything, I feel like he kind of maybe thinks Luffy doesn't understand like what being a pirate really means, you know?
Right. Or he's worried that he's going to get himself killed.
Yeah. And I think that's some of it. Yeah.
And maybe he's worried about, you know, Garp talked about in the last episode that, he did not want to move up any further in the chain of command because he doesn't like the people that he would have to take orders from if he continues to move up. Maybe it's something like that too, where he's afraid if Luffy keeps going on the path that he's on, Luffy's going to catch the attention of those people that Garp does not want to deal with. And, you know, could make it more dangerous for Luffy than it is right now. So if he can stop him now before he gets the attention of those individuals, maybe it's better for Luffy.
And that could be on either side. That could be with the Marines, like higher up they have the problem with. But also, you know, if you become competition for those, you know, big bad pirates, that would also bring it on there. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, like the competitors of Shanks and Mihawks, Shanks and Mihawk, you know, Shanks, good guy. Mihawk doesn't have he like doesn't have the most motivation out of anybody. You know, he's very laid back about everything. If it was someone that was a little bit more of an asshole and a little bit more determined, Luffy might be fucked.
So, you know, I can't remember in the episode, is it like Kobe and Garp's talk, is that cut to Nami and Luffy? Like, are those two like back to back, or is there a scene in between? Because I feel like those are kind of a little bit polarizing, because you see a similar, like, I guess, you know, like kind of similar conversations going on, and one person's not understanding like where Luffy's coming from or underestimating Luffy, and then the other person's like, no, you know, he's a good guy, this is gonna happen. And so I think, like, I wonder if those are back to back, because that would be kind of like a strong.
Mm-hmm. Based on the way I have my summary written down, I would say they are back to back.
Yeah.
Because I have Nami questions Luffy if he has the right mindset for tough decisions in the future, and then Garp tells Kobe how hard he works. Now, not that there can't be a scene in between, but I feel like if there was, I would have at least had a sentence on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that just kind of feels like, because then you see that same talk, like, on the different, like, we'll say extremes, not really extremes, except for Garp, but kind of on those different extremes. And there was one other thing I was going to say about, I thought it was about Kobe, but every time I look down at my notes, I forget what it was, and then it's there. So,
all right, we can always come back to it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come up. So, thanks.
Yeah. So my pickiness with Arlong was every time he was on screen, all I could think about was the toothpicks coming out of his nose. Like, that's exactly, that's what it looked like. All the little, like, his nose in the anime is much more of a saw blade, which, don't get me wrong, I think it looked good, but that's all I could see. I was like, that's absolutely a toothpick, right? Like, I'm curious how they do that. Like, with just some toothpicks and putty. Like, I could not get past his nose and the toothpicks like coming out of it. Yeah, I was looking, I was just like, I can't stop looking at the toothpicks.
I didn't think it was a toothpick. I thought it was just kind of like more angular, like it was thicker at where it came out. But
yeah,
I could be remembering wrong.
No,
see, like in the anime, it's a little bit thicker. In the anime, it is like a little bit thicker, like almost like you know, actual triangles or something like that. In the live action, it literally is about the. It looks exactly like a toothpick. Like it's the same color and everything.
I wonder if the proportions just wouldn't have been right because it's shorter than it is in the anime. So because it's shorter, they can't do them too wide because then it'll look too stunted, maybe.
I mean, also, I don't know how much you guys have watched anything like Face Off or anything like that, but there is a human who has to be able to function and talk and do those kind of things. So like being able to draw that,
you can
do those crazy
show.
Things. But yeah, but they have to be able to, he's got to be able to have that on his face. And still be able to talk and get like those teeth and everything in there. So I'm assuming you just got to make some, you know, not even looking at budget wise, just some allowances.
Absolutely. Yeah. The toothpicks, I was like, that is definitely a toothpick. It has to be a toothpick.
I'll be honest, between him and like the maitre d' at fish maitre d', those are only like fishmen, like people who didn't, where I wasn't like, I don't like this look. Like everyone else just kind of had like a just like a gross slimy look to him, and there was like one with a thing on his head. I was like, I can't stand when he's on screen. So I'm not gonna say anything about him. I was like, at least you don't make me uncomfortable like you're slimy and melting.
The other thing that I was really excited about is the story of Mont Blanc Nolan that Nami was talking about. That is something that, so like right now in our anime review, we are in the Alabasta arc. The arc that comes after Alabasta is very centered around the story of Mont Blanc Nolan. So that was a very large call, you know, to the anime and to that story. So I was pretty excited to hear that. That kind of reference and kind of the, you know, another telling of that story. And it was pretty close. Like, you know, there were some details. I was like, well, it's kind of the same, but it's not the same, you know? you know, some like minor details. I was like, yeah, it's basically the same story. It's the same. but I mean, I really liked the scene with Kobe. Cause it was like, you know, like you all were kind of talking about, and Kobe has a different understanding of Luffy than Garp does, even though they both like understand the same things about Luffy. They're just connecting the dots differently. And so I think Kobe was definitely trying to help Garp connect the dots in a different way. But well, like we see later, while it did, it felt like it was coming across, those were not the way that Garp was connecting the dots at all.
I think Kind of similar to what I was saying about with Nami, like their own personal histories, both with Luffy and, just overall, is coloring how they see those dots, so like a little bit. And I did finally remember, I had to write it down again, what I was going to say about Kobe and Garp, so I'm glad you brought that back up. So their talk, when they're talking about like Luffy's relationship and about him being a pirate and all that, it leads me to feel like there's more to like the story between like Luffy's like some kind of thing, something in the past that he does or doesn't know with pirates. I don't know if it's gonna end up being like some parentage or something, but it just the way that Garp seems so adamant, like this cannot happen at this time. I'm like, what are you keeping him from? That's not just like pirates are bad and I'm a Marine and we're opposing, it doesn't feel like if I was like a cop, I obviously don't want my child to be a criminal. It feels like there's something else that like going on. Like if I was a cop and I'm like, I let my child be a criminal and now he's like this big bad mobster and I don't want my grandson to know. It feels like there's something else there. So I kind of like that because it's intriguing a little bit more than just like what he's given us on the surface. So I guess,
It definitely seems like there's something else in the pirate world that we don't really understand.
Absolutely, that makes sense. I like that. Anything else before we keep going?
Good to go.
Arlong holds the entire dining room hostage while he stuffs his face. Luffy barges in with Sanji and Usopp, and Arlong reveals that he tracked Luffy using Buggy's ear that was hidden in Luffy's hat. Zeff tries to shoot Arlong in the back, but it does nothing. Kirby kicks Zeff to the side, which sends Sanji into a rage. After Luffy lands a few punches, Arlong sends him flying out of the Baratie. Luffy continues to fight, but Arlong seems to be too much for him to handle. When Luffy finally starts to be getting into a groove, Arlong splashes some seawater on him to make him crumble. Before Arlong finishes him off, Nami steps in and tells Arlong that she has the map and it is time for them to leave, revealing to Luffy that she is a member of the Arlong Pirates. As she walks away, Arlong hurls Luffy into the sea. Sanji jumps in to save Luffy, but Nami and the fishmen have already left. Garp addresses his Marines and tells them that it is time to take the gloves off when it comes to Luffy. They are going to be going after the Straw Hat crew at full force from now on. Winnie, let's go ahead and start with you.
All right. Burpee's back. Burpee?
Burpee? Was that what he called his name? Yeah, that was
Okay,
his
you
name
got
this
him
time.
Burpee.
Okay.
Love that. Did we know that Arlong was impervious to bullets? Is that a thing in the anime?
I think it is. I
Maybe.
don't remember. I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't remember. I mean,
Bullets.
if so, that's pretty hardcore. Makes it a lot
Bullets
harder
don't do
to
anything in one piece.
Yeah, exactly. I really kept wanting, I was getting really frustrated with Luffy because he was just punching him and it wasn't working half the time. And I was just like, do something else. Like, he didn't do his Gatling. He didn't do the bell. Like, he could have done other things and he just kept punching in different directions one by one. And I'm like, dude, this is enough. Let's move on, do something different. And now we know that Nami is a heel. She's a bad guy. Traitor. That too. I knew it. And really, I don't have much else to say here except Sanji, good God. Woo!
Rip City? Oh my God.
Woo!
I was like, where did your shirt go and
I
why
know,
did you
right?
have it
Had
on
time to
before
do
that?
that.
Yeah.
Same, but like, who cares?
No, I was
Why?
like,
Goodness.
why? I wanted a scene where we got the surprise. Like, that was a scene that needed to be in the show. Like, him ripping that shirt open.
Ripping it. Oh, yeah.
There
Close
was
up for a
lots of
minute.
shirtless people in
And
this episode.
what do you say, Garrett?
There was lots of shirtless people in this episode.
Yeah.
There
Yeah,
was.
we got some Luffy nipples. We got some Sanji nipples. We
Got
got. I
some
mean,
Zoro, even though he had a badge.
Sanji was absolutely the most shredded one out of all of them.
My God.
Like.
I didn't even know that was him at first when I first watched the episode. I've seen it a couple times since then when he dove in to save Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who is this? Who's coming? And then I see the hair and I'm like, oh. And then that just on his knee, dripping wet on the dock. And I'm like, they did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's like all of the MCU having like that shirtless scene. That was like,
mm-hmm. like the Chris Pratt one from Guardians, the first one, mm-hmm. after he's sprayed with the orange stuff. It's like, yes. Look, Chris Pratt is ripped now.
I think all of the men in there, except for maybe like
Tony.
Iron Man. Yeah, I was gonna say like Tony because he's not supposed to be.
Yeah, at maybe that just level, but... tank tops show off like his biceps.
You know? Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, he's rich enough when he's green.
We get to see his muscles in Avengers whenever he falls from the sky.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I like that, which it may be like this in the anime, but I like it again, I don't really remember. But with the seawater, the effects that it has on devil fruit eaters,
mm-hmm.
I like that it's very pronounced in the live action because Arlong just splashing him with the water really, you know, weakens mm-hmm. him quite a bit, which we had seen with Buggy when he put him in the tank of water. That was really helpful to kind of stop the fight because mm-hmm. it wasn't really going anywhere. And so now Arlong has the upper hand. And Nami, which I'm interested to see how you two feel. Have you two watched the whole rest of it yet? Or are you stopped here? Okay. Brandy, have you finished it?
Yes, I've finished it.
Okay. So I guess at this point, before you watched the last episodes, what were you thinking about Nami here? Especially because she said, you know, don't kill him, just let the water do it. Like, do you think that she was being cruel here, or do you think that she has another motive, or?
No, that was just, that's one of those things of, like, she doesn't like Arlong, but, like, she does like these people, but she doesn't want Arlong thinking that she actually likes these people now, so she's just like, you know, man, get this guy out of here. You're not above him.
Yeah.
You're above him. You don't need all that.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Yeah, and obviously I didn't know like what the connection was, but like from it all we've seen that she doesn't like pirates. And she doesn't like, she seems to be like whatever's going on with her, it seems to be more like she's been forced to do it for whatever reason. So while I didn't know why, I didn't feel like she was with Arlong because she was like, yeah, just, you know, this is a life I always wanted to lead. And so when she said, oh, let the, you know, the water do it, it felt like, I know someone will save him. Someone will jump in. And also saying, I think she says, like, that he has, that he ate the dragon fruit so that anyone who doesn't know, knows they need to go get him. So it just kind of felt like a way to save his life. Whereas if Arlong just kills him, there's nothing you can do about that. So right. You know, yeah, but Arlong doesn't know. Yeah,
that was pretty heavily implied, I thought too, that yeah. that she did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really reminded me of Crocodile Dundee too, whenever they got what's his name,
Paul Hogan,
mixed like the older dude,
Wally.
Or
it's been a while, yeah.
Something like that.
I love that movie.
Like, they got him captured, and they're like, "We got you, mate, man. Like, come out." And he's like, "Shoot the bloody bastard!" And just like,
that's funny.
Yeah, I just think like,
and then he shoots his ear off too, or like a little chunk of his ear. Yeah,
I do remember that.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've seen that.
Oh man, that's such a good movie. The second one's better than the first one, but the second one's
definitely better than the first one.
So I have to ask, like, Winnie, did you see a lot of people who didn't get that scene, or they thought she was just like she didn't care, or
no, I didn't see any. I just as somebody who had watched the anime, I knew where this was going. And so I was interested to see how people who didn't have that background were going to perceive that. You know what I mean? Like, is she really a bad guy or is she just playing everyone? Is she playing Luffy and the crew and Arlong, or was she really bad the whole time? Like, I was just interested to see what people thought at this point. Were they like, oh, she got us? Or were they like, is she just pretending with them, you know?
Yeah, the first time you were like, I've never saw it that way. If they were trying to make her like the Loki of this series, I don't think that part would have been very successful. Like, it has always felt like she's done all this stuff under duress. Whether, you know, like, even if she doesn't want to be a part of their crew, like, everything she's done that's been, you know, against them or anything like that has been because something is making her do it. I think when she was just going to leave them, like, that felt like her just being like, I don't need to be a part of this. If that was the way route they went, then that would have probably been more suspenseful to me. But I never at one point thought like she was really turning on them. And I thought it was clever that she didn't say like spare his life, because Arlong would not be the type to do that, or would use it against her. And so, you know, if you're someone who doesn't care about someone's life, then you readily believe that someone else would be like, yeah, let them drown, like, that's better, don't waste your time. But I'm not that person, obviously. So I just like, yeah, she's given him a chance, surrounded by his friends. So
I thought she was like a double agent for like the Marines, because like she had the little mini like portable thing, and like, I don't, like, I remember y'all said like that's not something that was in the anime, the little portable ear snail. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, it's the Marines. It seems like some shit like a military world government thing would have, you know, like have stuff that other people don't have. So,
yeah,
I can see
also
that.
A thief. So,
yeah,
I guess she could get a hold of that pretty easily, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I didn't go with that is because they already have kind of like a somewhat inside man with Kobe, even though he's not really, you already have that like connection with the Marines. So that actually, until you said it, I hadn't even thought about that aspect. I just assumed that she was obviously working with someone, and I was like, I wonder when we find out who that is. And then it was
pretty
him.
Cool
and I was
theory,
like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Anything else?
Nope. That's all I got.
Oh, it did seem that, like Arlong and his men were surprised by Luffy though in the fight.
I think they were too, yeah.
Because like it has that scene where like his two like henchmen are like looking at each other like, dude, are you seeing this? Like,
which is strange because surely Buggy would have told them this guy's rubber. And I think he even says he's rubber when he's asking for Luffy.
I don't feel like they're surprised so much that he's rubber, but that he's even
holding his own in a fight.
Holding this much of his own. Yeah.
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 He's got some strength on him. That's probably true.
I think maybe Buggy told them he was made of rubber. I'd have to go back and.
Well, I think he says that he's rubber when he asks for him when he first gets there. I think he mentions that. So, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe he just didn't think he'd be as strong as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially against a fish man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he definitely, like any human, he's like, oh, you're a puny.
Yeah. Because I remember the first time Luffy and Arlong fight in the anime, the first thing that happens is Luffy decks Arlong and sends him freaking flying. And that was one thing that I noticed was like, these fishmen feel like brick walls. Like all the, you know, the hits that Sanji and Luffy were both throwing out there, just, it didn't feel like they were really doing much. Like, I think Sanji did get one kick in that looked like it did something, but, and I, you know, Luffy might have gotten a punch or two in that like made Arlong like actually like bend over or something like that, or like turn around because he punched him in the face. But they just, not that I didn't like the fighting scenes, because I did, but that was one thing I noticed, like, wow, these guys feel
a
lot tougher.
Level.
Yeah, it did.
It made me think of like when in Infinity War, when Tony makes Thanos bleed, like it's just a little scrape, but you know, and he's given his all and he gets that little scrape, but you haven't seen that so before. So that's kind of how I felt like when they looked over. I was like, he's not really seen him have to really struggle against a human, and he's not struggling, but like to get anything that's just been whatever you know, before.
It's, I mean, like when's the last time they saw like Arlong get knocked to the ground from a few punches?
Yeah,
like, probably been a long time,
right?
Yeah, probably.
Fair point.
Yeah, Garrett, we can go ahead and let you go next.
I mean, I'm pretty much
okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I said that on mine.
Okay, cool. Brandy?
So the only thing I would say is that I agree with, I think it was Whitney, about the fight. Like, I've felt like with other fights, we've seen Luffy, like, kind of, you know, adapt. Like, okay, punching them isn't working this way. I think we saw it with Buggy. I think he like did it around, so he kind of ricocheted at one point or went around the long way to kind of sneak up on him. And then obviously they, you know, moved the like the hands and the arms and put them somewhere else, so he adapted. And this one felt like he wasn't. I'm like, when are you gonna learn that's not gonna work? Like, you just keep doing the same thing. And so it was a little bit frustrating, and I think even more so because we've seen him, you know, learn in a fight, and this one he wasn't. He was just like over and over again, same thing. Yeah,
I think the difference in that, the fights, is like the two people, like Buggy and what is it, Kershaw?
Kuro,
there it is. Like both of them are like Buggy turns into a bunch of pieces. So that's a very odd fight.
Right.
And then Kershaw, cat dude.
Kuro.
He's like super fast, so I mean that's kind of a different fight. But Arlong just kind of comes at him just brute force,
yeah.
And like no one's really kind of got him at like where you're not really having to strategize a fight; you just gotta bulk up and do it.
That's a fair
point. Yeah, I can see that, but I do think like okay, obviously Arlong's really just kind of taking these punches, like they're affecting him more, like we talked about, more than I think like he expected from a human, but they're not taking him down. And so it is a little bit frustrating when you see like, hey, I was in this situation and I needed to come up with a different way. So even if, you know, you still need a strategy, you still can't sit there and go, well, like I'm hitting him. You're not gonna, you know, just kind of wear him out. He's wearing you out. And so I think that was like even more frustrating than like, if this was the first fight, I still would be like, why does he just keep punching him? It's not working. But having seen him be like, this isn't working, and change it up to something it was a little bit more frustrating to see him just like keep doing the same thing in this one and never really try anything different. It's the first indicator or that, oh, Arlong is gonna be a bigger villain in this series because he's gotta be like the big boss man, you know. Because he's gotta learn at some point how to beat him. I got that indicator even before the whole Nami thing. So yeah, I was like, you know, he's not learning from this fight, so this must be more significant. Like, this is just round one of a bigger thing. Yeah.
Not to counter what you're saying again.
But you're going
to
counter
it. Okay. Yeah, you're going to fucking do it anyway.
I'm sorry.
No offense, but Brandy, you're wrong.
No. He does slightly adjust throughout the fight, though, because, like, when they're fighting in the bar, he's just kind of throwing these, like, straight-up jabs at him. And then, like, once they get outside, he's, like, he really starts to use his ability to stretch to get, like, these big, winding, momentum-based punches on him. And those really, they did start to wear him down as the fight drew on. And then Arlong pulls the chi move and is like, you know, seawater.
Yeah. Yeah, Luffy was finally starting to get a bit of an upper hand out there.
He was kind of
further
away at that point, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in all that reverse, you see Arlong's like, hey, you're getting the better hand, so I know what you know, seawater. Yeah. So I think I think that you see like the wrong guy, I guess, in that point, kind of learn how to adjust a little bit more. So, but I can understand what you say. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. I'll take your counter, not counter, but okay.
Amanda, what about you?
I think the only other thing that we didn't really talk about too much is just Buggy being back in the picture, because he doesn't show up in the anime and in this kind of a capacity, which I think we've talked about before, that he's more involved than he normally is. And he, I don't know if this is my favorite line, probably. He calls everyone shittiots. yeah, and that ear situation was pretty gross. So I guess we just kind of see again that his parts, when they're separate, they still are independent, I guess. Because mm-hmm. His ear was still working enough for him to know what was going on and spy on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it's gross. It just like wiggled out.
It did. And then I was like, you've been carrying around someone's ear for...
It made me think of like maggots, and I was like,
I didn't think ears were gross until that, and I was just kind of like, I guess ears by themselves are kind of weird.
For some reason, when I first saw it, I thought it was his tongue like coming out of there. I was like,
it did kind of move a little bit like that. I can see that. So he wanted some food. He's just the head. Like, what was he gonna do with that food? Like, does it? Like his stomach somewhere else. Like as soon as he was like, "Do you have any fish for me?" I'm like, "What are you gonna do with it?" Like, obviously.
I'm kind of curious. I want to see that now. I want to see him eat as just a
head.
Just
gonna chew it. He's like, flavor, and then spit it back out.
Yeah.
Wait, so what would it be like that, or would you have to like have his body and then pour something down his throat hole on his body?
So could he starve to death?
Maybe. I mean, I guess unless someone is like putting food in his body.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Have to say, having not been on the episode where he was introduced, this is so much better than that, the version that was in Suicide Squad where the parts all came out. So I was like, this is done much better. And he actually can use them instead of just like kind of coming and being like, and you just capture them. I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, that's an improvement.
I was happy to see Buggy again. I love him.
I am not really sure that I like the ear thing. It was kind of like bugging me a little bit. Like, see what I did there? Bugging me. Okay.
It was a reach, but we'll give it to you.
It's fine. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, how in the name of hell did Buggy get his ear on into Luffy's hat, like in the middle of everything going on? So I actually went back to episodes 2 and 3 to like look and see what exactly happened. So when Luffy sent Buggy...
Wait, are you gonna tell me they show us? Because that part is, that'd be badass.
Wouldn't it though?
Yeah.
Episode 2, whenever Luffy sends Buggy flying out of the tent, Buggy definitely has both of his ears still on his head. And they haven't seen each other since. But in episode 3, whenever Buggy is there and is talking to Arlong and like putting all of his pieces back together, because it's his right ear and it is not there. And actually, whenever, like, you see his left ear very clearly, but his right ear, you just see his bandana. Like, not, you know, you don't actually see his ear. And they even make a point to say, while they're showing his right side, I've got eyes and ears everywhere.
Right.
And so it's like, in episode 3, they're kind of hinting to it, but you don't see how it could, like, I don't see how it possibly could have happened. The only thing I can think of is maybe whenever Luffy hit Buggy out of the tent, that in the process, his ear flew off. Or, you know, he allowed his ear. But like he allowed his ear to fly off, or like pushed his ear off at the same time to get into Luffy's hat. But then I can't remember who it was brought up earlier. Like, Luffy has messed with his hat multiple times. And, like, he even went to the trouble of, you know, because Nami's even sewn his hat back together and messed with his hat. And Luffy even did it on the way to the Baratie because Kuro put, I think, put some holes in his hat that he was, like, sewing back together with more straw. So, like, they've messed with his hat quite a bit. So it'd be kind of odd that someone didn't notice a massive ear-shaped, like, imprint in the band. Well, I'm sure
it wasn't in the hat the whole time. Like, he probably moved around to make it better.
Maybe that's a possibility as well, because it's not like he can't move his ear around to try to keep it hidden.
Yeah, but can you see where he's moving his ear?
That's very true. Goes
by sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, him getting it in there wasn't, like, even, I mean, until Derek brought it up, I just kind of went with the fact that we've seen him be able to move those those parts. I don't want to say limbs anymore, but, like, those parts independently, once they're out, he can kind of still direct them. Like, he still has the same amount of control, apparently more, because I can't move my ears, than we have when we're, like, they're attached to his body. It was more just, like, how come we haven't seen, you know, like, how come they haven't seen it? Like, you know, obviously. And even, like you were saying, they've sewn it up a couple of times. Also, he just messes with it a lot. Like, he takes it off all the time. He's really excited it's been thrown. He's all that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's something that's, like, not really sitting completely right with me. It feels a little odd.
I will say that I think it's...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I would just say that I think it would be smart for him to put it in Luffy's hat, because they've established in that episode that he cares for it when Nami throws it up so she can escape. You see him, like, kind of stop everything to get the hat back. And so that would be something, you know, he's going to keep on him. So that would, you know, like, instead of putting it, like, in a pants pocket where he could just change his clothes, he doesn't care. You know, that means a lot to him. So I think that that's a smart hiding place besides the fact that they should have found it.
And not only that, but, like, he's going to protect that hat more than he would everything else. Like, he can probably put his ear there. That sounds so fucking weird. And know that it's going to be keeping safe.
Right.
Have we seen the rest of Buggy's body yet?
No. Not since episode 3 with Arlong. Let's see. Nami, whenever she broke up the fight, I was really impressed with, like, how cold she felt. So, like Brandy and Garrett were kind of talking about, you could definitely tell, I think, that she was telling Arlong to throw him in the water just for the fact that if Arlong wouldn't have thrown him in the water, then it was 100% chance Luffy was going to die. And while, you know, throwing him in the water still was not going to be a good situation for Luffy, it's something that it would be possible for him to get out of. You know, someone could come and help him out of the water, exactly like what happened. But her telling Arlong to throw him in and then just walking away, she never looks back. She doesn't look back to see if Arlong actually throws him in. She doesn't, you know, or anything. She just says it and walks off.
You got to put on a good act, man.
Exactly. And like, that whole scene, very well done by Emily Rudd, I think. Like, I thought she did a good job in that.
And I'd say, seeing, like, where the season goes later, it makes sense that she would know. Like, obviously, we've seen, like, her ability to do that later on, and that she understands the importance of that. But also, when you realize how long she's been with them, she would know that that's an important step. Like, you can't look back. He would notice that weakness. He would notice if you did. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm still hesitant to talk about my future stuff with Derek here, but Derek's, like, seen everything, so there's
really... I've seen the entire anime, but I don't know what's coming over the next 2 episodes as far as differences.
No, for sure.
And I especially with Garp, because, like, this whole Garp storyline we've got going here is not in the anime at all. Nice. So that is actually kind of keeping me on edge, which is interesting, because if you think about it, the Garp storyline really is not impacting the main storyline at all. Like, it's flashing to Garp, but and, you know, like his scenes and stuff with Kobe are impactful. But as far as what Luffy is doing, it's not making a difference. You know, so, it's not changing Luffy's trajectory or anything like that.
So where you are now and Garp, and like, do you prefer one or the other, like the anime storyline with Garp compared to this one? That.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I would have to see where live action Garp goes, because I mean, I have seen all 1,000 episodes of the anime. So I can tell you I prefer anime Garp, like overall. But as far as where we are at in our review, Garp has only been in the anime for like a total of an episode. And we're at like episode 92 right now. So Garp is, anime-wise, at this point, Garp is still a huge mystery.
Okay.
Because like at this point, we still, at this point in the anime, we still don't even know that he's Luffy's grandpa. That's not something that we find out until episode 314 is when they finally drop it. So it's not even close.
Wow.
So they dropped it early in the live action, very early.
Was it episode 3?
Four.
Yeah, I definitely was just as shocked as the rest. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, overall I prefer anime Garp, but like as of where we're at now, I would say I would have to prefer live action Garp, just because of the fact we have not hardly seen anime Garp in our current review.
The anime creator is like a big part of the live action, right?
Yeah, he did a lot of consulting on the live action. Like he would not allow any scene to go through without his approval.
I heard something interesting about that. I forget where this was, but I read an interview with the showrunner. Mm-hmm. I think his name's Matt Owens. I could be totally wrong. But don't read it, Derek, because there's show spoilers in it.
Okay.
But he talks about how they had already done, you know, finished filming everything, but the writer's strike happened when they were still in like post-production. So he wasn't able to do anything kind of towards the end. He wasn't able to be involved in like the edits and stuff.
Hmm.
So he did say that I think like Oda was involved in that process too. So he felt good about everything because he was involved and his whole crew who was able to work on it knew the direction of where everything was supposed to go. So that's kind of cool to hear that he was kind of still involved through the whole process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I figured he probably was. Why would
you allow the changes like this, though?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Garp, I think...
Like, just from... I mean, like, how accurate it... at this point, like, I know Garp's different, but, like, how much of the storyline is, like, pretty close to what it was?
I mean, the basics of it are close. Like, we still... For instance, in the Baratier arc, you know, Zoro and Mihawk, that fight is still a thing. Like, that is 100% anime. And Luffy fighting someone following Zoro's fight is still the same. But it's someone different. We, at this point in the anime, you have not yet been introduced to Arlong. The person that Luffy fights at this point is Don Krieg, the guy that Mihawk killed in the first scene that we see him. He was like the
ship in half.
Yeah, when he splits the ship in half, there's the guy that comes up with the gold armor that like has the cannon that pops over his head.
Somehow over his shoulder. I really gotta stop smoking before I watch it.
It was so quick. I didn't even realize who it was until like the second time I watched it.
Yeah, like the wanted poster comes up and he grabs it and like snatches it out of the frame very quickly.
He's
a bigger presence in the anime for sure.
Yeah, he is. Which I like the way he did that because he's awful. Fucking hate Don Krieg. So like in the anime, Nami still leaves just like she did here. Now the manner in which she leaves is a little bit different because, like I said, Arlong is not there, so he's not there to coax her away. She just goes.
He steals the going Mary.
She does. In the anime, she steals the ship. So they have
bitch.
All right. We hate, well, me and Amanda hate anime Nami. She is the worst. She's awful.
Yeah, she sounds like more...
she don't fight. She always bickering and steals she the
tells everybody what to do. Damn. Yeah, she
yeah she's a lot more wishy-washy in the anime as far as like where her intentions
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like base plot's still there, but like some of the little details that don't matter as much are the ones that are different.
Also, I wonder if it's like, so I like the Percy Jackson series, that's a great example, mm-hmm. and they're making the show. Yeah. Obviously, Rick Riordan's part of it because he hated the movie so much. Mm-hmm. And he is changing stuff, and he's come out and said, these are things like that I don't like when I read back the books. I wish I had changed, or, you know, mm-hmm. times have changed in the 20 something years of the books or whatever, or just like knowing where the story went, this works better, like as a, like, because before I was writing them as they go. So that might just be where it is too, like knowing where they go, maybe moving this up. And obviously then you have to also factor in, I don't know how many episodes a season is for the anime, but you have 8 episodes and you want to get an arc, because you don't want, first of all, this is the first one. You want to make sure people know they can come back. You want it to be a success. Mm-hmm. You don't want to leave it on a cliffhanger, because that is the worst when the first season is a cliffhanger. But yeah, I can see why you would have to change some things. Then obviously budget wise, mm-hmm. people, that kind of stuff is different as well. So.
Mm-hmm. As far, yeah, and like I know Oda has made like little bitty changes that he's, because like throughout the anime he has referenced bits that we didn't see at this point, you know, that took place at this point in time that we didn't see. So like one that I kind of talked about in our very first episode is at a point in time in the anime, Oda had a song that he paid a musician to write that was just, I don't want to say One Piece's theme song, but it was going to be a song that would be a major point in One Piece and like a major highlight of the show. And so like that song is One Piece, like it's a huge thing. And at the point where it's kind of introduced, Luffy mentions, he's like, oh yeah, we used to sing this, or you know, Shanks and his crew used to sing it a lot whenever he would come to town. Well, I mean, at the point where they were showing the Shanks flashback and stuff, the song hadn't been wrote yet. Oda didn't even have that idea yet. So like in the live action, if you listen in the background, you can actually hear the song playing, because he threw that in there now, you know, kind of going to that flashback. So it's like little details like that that he would have changed or added because of where the story went, that I really like that he's going back and kind of doing that and throwing those extra little bitty things in here that are like called, you know, a call to the anime and to like something that happens in the future or whatever.
Yeah, and right now it's kind of like it would be an Easter egg like that was for you,
mm-hmm.
without detracting from like Garrett and I, who have no idea what that,
mm-hmm.
I still am like, what song are you talking about? Yeah. I don't remember that happening. So
yeah, it's just very soft in the background.
Yeah, and so I think that that's good, because they know what's going to go and they're not sitting there, you know, mm-hmm. I won't name her name, but not just like changing it to change it or whatever. Mm. So,
and or like you know, on the last scene we were talking about with Mont Blanc Nolan, that would be another one like that. That's a major point in the anime that, because he has the ability to kind of go back and throw this in here, he is, to make it seem like it's more of a prevalent story throughout the world instead of just when it was right when it was needed, it like it was in the anime. So something like that too, for sure. The only other note I had on this scene before we move on was I feel like when Garp gives the speech about the gloves coming off, are they actually going to? Because the key word he still said in his speech was, he's still saying capture, which, I mean, I get that's his main goal, but it makes it sound like he's going to go about the same take them alive mindset that he has had this whole time. Like, when I think of the phrase, okay, we're going to take the gloves off, especially in this context where this whole time you've been trying to take him alive and go about taking him alive. So what's taking the gloves off? Taking him dead or alive. You know, that's what makes me think, like, the next step past what he's been trying to do, taking the gloves off, is being okay with the fact he might be coming in dead. And then, but based on his speech, while it sure does it sound a little bit more vicious, yeah, but the basics of it, of like breaking down the words, if you take it out of context, still sounds like, yeah, he's going to bring him in alive, you know? And I don't really know what's changing here, you know, like based on his speech, I just don't know that I see a large change coming or even see how he's going to approach it being that much different than what it has.
I can see that. And then that also made me wonder, like, if you are trying to take them alive, why were you like trying to blow up their ship as well? Like, people die from that, you know. And you know that Luffy is a dragon fruit eater, and you were going to like damage his ship, and then he falls in the ocean, and you know he might not be able to survive that. So you've already kind of been like, when I'm angry, it's okay if I go after you like that, and forget about that whole bring him in alive part. So
yeah. What's the kid's name?
Kobe.
Kobe. I was gonna call him. Yeah. He in that scene, he's just like, oh damn, what have I unleashed in this man?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he should have just let Garp be depressed and just leave it at that.
I think that was one time we've seen live action Kobe really look like anime Kobe, with that really super, which he does it a lot, but like really worried face and terrified, like, oh god, what have I done kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is anime Kobe as bad of a sneak as live action? Because I'm like, you've already been told that they know you're eavesdropping, and then you just kind of crouch down slightly away from the door.
He's not been in it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda and I've seen him.
We're on 92.
I think he's been in the anime a total of 5 episodes.
Yeah,
out of he's episode.
Not yeah. good. He's awful. We all hated him when we first started watching because he just cries and snivels and whines and is terrified. But yeah, we haven't seen much of him yet. This is way, way more than we're used to.
So
yeah,
it's closer to that first episode. Okay.
Yeah,
so
the first episode is pretty accurate, like as far as him sticking behind to become a Marine. And after that, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. A little like bit of like cadet training. Like
you don't see him. Yeah, you don't see him again in this whole arc. I think the next, it's like the first season of the live action basically covers the first 45 episodes of the anime. And Kobe stops in episode 3, and you don't see him again until episode 68. So he's not in this whole arc again after episode 3.
So having this whole thing with Garp also allows more Kobe in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Cool. We're getting a lot more Kobe, a lot more Garp, and a lot more Homepo.
Who is that?
Homepo is that dude.
Yeah, it's the haircut guy that's with Kobe.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
He be making me laugh, man.
Yeah.
Freaking Zoro's just like, what's up, haircut?
his Prince Valiant haircut, every time I snicker every time. So
every time.
And then I think about him in the first episode where he's like naked and like
with
the sword.
Playing with a sword.
Okay. Awesome.
Anything else on this before we move on to the wrap up of the episode?
Nope.
Cool. Zeff cleans the Baratier and Sanji comes in to help. Zeff flips out and tells him that it is time for Sanji to leave the Baratier. He's not going to find the All Blue spending the rest of his life there. Luffy goes back to Zoro's bedside. When Zoro finally wakes up, Luffy jumps on him and causes Zoro even more pain. Luffy begins to second guess whether or not his actions caused Nami to leave and left the crew in shambles the way it is now. Zoro lets Luffy know that he will always have his back and they will proceed however Luffy wants. Usopp asks for the next steps, but Luffy says they are going after Nami first. As they prepare to leave, Sanji boards the Mary. As the ship sails off, Sanji yells a heartfelt goodbye to Chef Zeff. Luffy then reveals to the crew that they are going to track Nami using the buggy method as well. Real quick, I just wanted to point out something with Zoro that I thought was really funny. I didn't even think about it because when Sanji steps on the Mary and Zoro's like, why are we bringing the waiter with us? I'm like, we've seen the relationship build with Sanji. And like, and if you think about it, or with Luffy and Sanji, that was all in the kitchen when none of the other crew was there, was when that relationship started budding. And as far as Usopp getting to know him and Nami getting to know him was not until after Zoro went down. So the only thing that Zoro knows about Sanji at this point was he serves food and he hits on Nami, and that's about it. And so like him, the slight question of what's he doing here, like, so much has happened, guy, so much has happened that you are not aware of. And so that was really funny to me. I was like, yeah, he does not have much background with Sanji, you know, if any, like a 3-minute conversation and that's it. So anyway, I will pass it off now. Brandy, what do you think about the ending here?
First of all, that was a great point because I had not thought about it. I just thought he was, you know, being snarky to be snarky.
And that's totally Zoro.
yeah. So it fit right in. So, and I can relate to being around people like that. So, but this is once again, like one of those times where I didn't know anything beforehand. So it wasn't until like after this episode that I saw a picture of like the crew. And I was like, oh, if I had seen that before, I would know Sanji was going to come. So when he came, I was like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how many other people they're going to bring on, because I initially thought that Kobe was going to come and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So it left me with like, who's going to be a part of this crew? Who's not? And so that part was cool. And it was just kind of like surprised that he actually went after he seemed to have like a good thing going. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he was going to come. So I think I kind of like, I had touched on the stuff with Zeff before. Mm-hmm. With him and kind of like pushing him, which I think, you know, I like seeing that relationship kind of going on. That you see that relationship between Zeff and Sanji is a more positive version of what you see with Luffy and Garb. Like, mm-hmm. Garb, they're both saying like, this is what I think you should do, and one is trying to like guide and support while the other one is trying to take control. And I think he gave him the time, but he's like, you need to go. And even if it's, you know, like both are kind of like those grouchy old men, but I think they're just coming from a much better place. And so it's nice to see that kind of like parallel relationship, which I hadn't really thought about till just now. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Amanda, what about you?
Yeah, I liked that part at the end that we got to kind of see a little bit more of Zeff and Sanji's relationship. And the like the whole discussion when they were trying to clean up the restaurant was good. And you, I mean, again, just got more of that like tough love thing from Zeff. He's just, you see that he does really want Sanji to go because he thinks he's just kind of hang out forever if he stays mm-hmm. on the Baratie. And yeah, I thought that was funny that they had put in that little bit about Zoro not realizing why Sanji was coming along, because he just was out for that whole conversation, mm-hmm. for the whole story, really, I guess. There was, let me see, I don't think I had too much more. Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, there. I liked how it ended. And then we get more Buggy. He's going to be... We see that he doesn't have any loyalty to anybody because he's going to help out this crew now. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just a goon. He's just trying to survive.
Mm-hmm. Whitney, what about you?
Okay, so the goodbye between Sanji and Zeff is what made me well up a little bit. Because at first he was just like, bye, old man, and walked away. And I was like, really? Is that going to be it? And then, you know, he came back and thanked him for saving his life, basically, which was really sweet. And I like that Zeph didn't, like, make him feel bad for saying those things. He just kind of smiled and nodded a little bit, you know. The way that Luffy straddled Zoro when he woke up made me laugh out loud. It was so funny. And just like, Luffy has such abandon. When he feels his emotions, he feels them, right? And I love that about him. But I also like Usopp's reaction to coming in and seeing that Zoro woke up, and he's like, Zoro! I wouldn't worry for a minute. Just typical Usopp, right?
Fucking Usopp.
And I like that. I felt like in the anime, it was much more of a gag that Luffy wanted a cook more than like a doctor or something that you really needed on a crew. But when Sanji comes up to the ship and says, heard you guys need a cook, the pure like excitement rage that Luffy gets, he just starts screaming, yeah, we do. I just really like that. And yeah, I agree with Amanda. I don't know if Amanda was excited to see Buggy, but I thought it was pretty cool, a little twist that they still had him in the bag. And really funny that Arlong didn't give a shit and just left him behind is a little bit funny to me. He was like, you served your purpose, you're done.
I think it felt more like he forgot about him, like it didn't matter anymore. He got
like
what
he's
he
just
came
not
for.
Important.
Yeah, so he wasn't like, I don't, like, you served your purpose so much as he, you know, like, I could see him getting back to their clubhouse and being like, ah, shit, I forgot the head.
Yeah. Oh, we still have his body somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And we got the body, whatever. You know, like, kind of thing. So. I do have to, just real quick, I was just going to say, to go off of what everyone has mentioned but me, like, Luffy jumping on Zoro, and it's a trope we see a lot where, you know, like, someone's hurt and then they forget and they're too close, you know, like if you've seen The Princess Bride or anything like that. But the fact that even when Zoro's like reacting to the pain, Luffy doesn't care. He's just like, and he just keeps doing it because he's so
excited.
And then
excited. He like lifts his arm lifts up his in arm. The air.
Yeah. And he just, and he's like, even if he's like, ow, ow, he's not like, ooh, I'm sorry. He's just kind of like, keeps on moving.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so I thought that part was like a little bit extra, so it's good.
And the fact that this is like the first real time that Zoro's like, I'm with you till the end, till we die or get the One Piece. I'm your first mate, you're my captain. Like, he said it out loud. We all knew it, but, you know.
Yeah, because I think last time it was Nami who told him, and then he went and talked, but he never like admitted it.
Yeah,
he was
just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, but.
Yeah.
Garrett, what about you?
Man, I almost feel like you guys have a podcast or something, because y'all really hit everything on the head.
We got lucky.
the goodbye between Zeph and Sanji was probably I'm not gonna say the best part of the episode, but like the most like heartfelt and made you feel good, like kind of moment. What's it called? Luffy. And Luffy when Zoro woke up was really funny. Just no awareness though. I mean, like whenever he like yanks his arm up, like, man, you ripping some stitches there for sure.
Absolutely, there had to be.
We and, need more fish.
Oh yeah, more fish skin.
Luffy freaking just very excited whenever Sanji decided to join him on the ship. That's like, that's one of my favorite things from like Dragon Ball, is just how much food like Goku and Vegeta and all them eat, and so the whole food thing is, it's always funny.
Yeah, that's absolutely Luffy. Garrett, I don't know if you knew this or not, there's actually a filler episode where Dragon Ball Z and One Piece cross, so like Luffy and Goku meet. I haven't seen it, but it's like episode 650 of the anime or some shit. And there's
of One Piece,
yeah. I'm not sure when it is in Dragon Ball, but yeah, and there's actually a third anime character that's in it too, but I've never heard of that.
It would have to be in a movie or whenever it was Dragon Ball, because I haven't seen Dragon Ball.
It was Dragon Ball Z for sure. It was like full grown Goku.
Did it? It must have been one of the movies, because I haven't seen all the movies. I've seen all of the like, not the reanimated Dragon Ball Kai. Like, I've seen all of Z, and then I've seen all of Super. So
it's definitely episodes, because it's like, I think they did it similar to how the DC universe did with like Arrow and Flash and stuff. I think they did one One Piece episode, one Dragon Ball episode, and one episode of the other anime that the other character's from. But
I'm gonna have to look that up.
I'm gonna have to see if I can find it too, because like, I've heard about it, and it's got me curious, but I haven't watched it yet.
There's an episode in Super whenever they do some crossover with another like anime type show, and so I'm interested. I need to go find that.
Yeah, I think it would be funny. Like, and I really hope they do like an eat off or something like that, like Luffy and Goku to see who can eat more. I think that'd be really funny.
I haven't seen the anime, so I haven't seen Luffy put down food, but
he can put down some food, but I know Goku can too.
Dude, that's like one of the tropes. It's like, if you're like a Saiyan, like you put down, yeah, like you put down some food by yourself.
Yep. So really the only, because like we've all kind of discussed the you know, most of this so far, the only thing I had was like this ending here kind of went a little bit flat for me. The goodbye between Zeph and Sanji was good. It wasn't as emotional and as like touching, I think, as it is in the anime. I think they just built that relationship. I kind of already talked. I think they just built that relationship a little bit more in the anime, and really and hit that moment better. But not only that, I think that yes, they kind of establish here in this episode and in the last episode on why Zeph wants Sanji to leave, as far as, look, your dream is to find the All Blue. You're not going to find it if you're here. But I think what they don't really touch on is why now, you know, why with this particular crew? Because there were other pirates there. Sanji could have left with any of them. You know, based on the fact, look, you need to go. And so that's one thing that they really did not touch on at all, is not only the growing relationship between Luffy and Zeph that happens in the anime, but the growing mutual respect as two captains, and Zeph being a veteran captain that essentially ruled the seas for years, and Luffy being the next captain that Zeph sees something in. And so that's the thing that they never really showed, is like, in which I guess Luffy did fight in this episode, but like in the Krieg fight with Luffy, Zeph is sitting there talking about Luffy's mindset. He's like, he's like, I can't believe that this guy is going into this fight with no fear. He's going into it, he's not second guessing himself, he's using his instincts, and he's making the right moves. Like, he's just completely breaking down everything that Luffy's doing from a mindset standpoint throughout the whole arc, as well as from a fighting standpoint. And it's like, not only is this someone that Sanji might be able to find the All Blue with, but this is someone that Sanji can grow with. And someone that he knows Luffy is going to have his back as a good captain. And so that was a point where, like, they didn't really touch on that in the live action at all, as to, yeah, Sanji should leave, but why leave here? Why leave with Luffy? But yeah, I mean, overall, I really liked the Baratie arc. I thought they did a great job, and I freaking love live action Sanji. I think he's great. Anything else before we move on to our after credit shit?
I just had a question on your comments
Yeah.
about the ending. So I'd say first of all, I think it maybe the ending with Sanchi and Zeph touched me a little bit more because I probably
Yeah.
like if you ask my mom like how does like I moved across country several times and if you were like how did Brandy act when you're like all right bye guys you know like so because when I'm emotional I just kind of like flatline a little bit about that kind of stuff so I kind of really related to that where he was just like my old man and then came back and was like but really so but I was wondering do you feel like they didn't touch like that scene wasn't as impactful for you or because you didn't feel their relationship was as impactful like throughout so far those episodes that that is what kind of left it a little bit
I think it was a little bit of both.
okay
Like Sanji, and I've talked about this before in our other episodes. One thing that I've definitely noticed with the live action is and I understand why, because if you're actually going over all these speeches word for word, they're trying to cut time in these live action episodes. You have to fit 45 episodes into 8, so drawing out everything and drawing out all of the characters so you get a fully, understanding of them and how they work and have the opportunity to become attached or to come more attached to them and get to know them better on a deeper level. All of that takes time, and that's time that they just don't have. And these speeches that are done in the anime, including this speech with Sanji leaving, or like last episode with Zoro talking to Luffy, they're meatier speeches. And so it's like you feel Sanji's heart just in it more. Like he still says the same thing. It's just not quite there. You know what I mean? Like it's still good. Like it was still a good speech. It was just very summarized. And like I think if it wouldn't have been for the fact that I'd seen the anime, I think I would like it more. But because I've seen the anime and because I'm comparing it to the anime and that speech, I think that's why it fell flat for me. It's just because I know what it originally was,
Okay.
if that makes sense.
It does. And I know you also mentioned like you they don't show why Zeph was okay with like Sanji, you should go now. And probably because I haven't seen the anime, I really for me it felt more like it was about not like seeing Luffy fight so much as the fact that Luffy stood up to Zeph for Sanji. For Sanji having a dream, even though at that point he thought it was just to be in the kitchen. He's like, he's more than a waiter and he's a good guy. He's got this heart. And he's the one who mentioned, like, he fed this guy, came in, he was hungry. And at that point, I'm thinking, oh no, Seth's going to be upset about it. But then later on, when Sanji's talking to him, he's like, you're the one who told me if people don't have food to feed them. And he's like, yeah. And so for me, that's where it was. It was more like, this is someone who understands. Because that's why you would probably want him over like any old, pirate. Like this is someone who understands that he's got a dream and will help him reach that dream, will support him and will fight for him. So that's how I kind of came about it.
Absolutely.
And so on that note, I think for me, I think I like the idea of that more than him like seeing a fight and being like, look at why he stepped in and fought for that a little bit more in this situation where, like you might see like other pirate captains fight. So I guess that's my personal opinion.
No. So like all your I mean, I agree with you, and I think you're like I see what you're talking about, where that scene is definitely, yeah, I would like I can see what you're talking about, where that scene with Sanji standing up to Zeph, or sorry, Luffy standing up to Zeph on Sanji's behalf, does speak to Luffy's character more. So there's still scenes like that in the anime. There's just much more of them. So like you see that on a personality level, as well as Zeph seeing him from a fighting style, and like that's where the mutual respect grows, is from the fact that one, Luffy's standing up for Sanji when he barely knows him. Two, he's a great fighter and he has the instincts to be a great captain, and it just kind of builds on top of that. Like, they build that for probably about 8 episodes.
Okay.
And so, like, that's just, you know, like I said, I understand they don't have the time to do all of that and build that relationship more in the anime, but that's just, or in the live action. But that was just something that I noticed.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you have to, like, obviously you have to, you have 8 episodes compared to, I think you, like, said, like, 45 or whatever. But mm-hmm. you still need to, you know, get your point across. You can't just say, oh, I only had 8 episodes. That's a cop-out. Then your job yeah. is to make a story in that time frame that you have, and you need to get it all in there. I think that in these kind of instances, I'm kind of glad that I haven't seen the series. I'm definitely one of those people who is like, the books are better than the movies or the shows, and so sometimes I don't want to read the books first because mm-hmm. they'll impact how I feel about the movies or the shows. And so with this one, I think it allows me to kind of maybe like this live action a little bit yeah. more, because I don't have that comparison. I get to enjoy it for what they're able to give me, opposed to, you're able to give me a lot, but you could have given me more.
Exactly.
You should have. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, I like that. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, anything else before we move on to the extra activities at the end, the awards and shit? Nope. Cool. So we have another question from our friend Silver Big Dick. Brandy's face.
I was just trying to figure out if, like, who I would assume that was. Like, yeah, I was like, Silver Big Dick. Ooh. And amazingly enough, it's the silver part that's throwing me off.
Like, so if we just said Big Dick, you would know exactly who it is.
I think I would just have, like, it might narrow it down a little bit better, but I was like, Silver Big Dick. Silver. Who would put silver? That's why. So that's what that face was for. It was like, why is it silver that's throwing you, like, reevaluate your relationship, Randy?
All right, I am going to go ahead and play this now. Maybe.
Greetings, Going Merry. I, Thick Sick Dick, have returned again. Your question this week. Arlong is very sharp. Everyone must see that. However, did you see how many points are on his nose?
You better know that one, Derek.
I think I know it.
You should have been looking at those toothpicks.
I was looking at the individual toothpicks, not the toothpicks as a whole. I'm going to go with 12. I think 13. There's six on 16. Each side.
16?
Okay.
I'm going with 12. I was with Derek on that.
Okay. Brandy?
I'm going to go... I want to say 12. I'm going to go 8. I'm just going to throw it off.
Okay, like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see what he has to say here.
Greetings, Going Merry.
Shit, start it over. Let me get here.
The correct answer is 13, 12 sticking out the sides, and the point of his nose itself.
Ah, damn it, he did say points overall. I was thinking a fucking toothpick, son of a bitch.
Fuck my butt, Derek.
Yeah,
you said 16. Like was, okay, I was closer.
I said 13. Thank you.
Yeah, Brenda. she said 13. Yeah.
Oh, you did say 13.
Right, yeah, she said 13. That's why she celebrated. Like, you know,
yeah,
after
I said 16.
Yeah.
No.
I felt like it was 12. I just wanted to go different. I didn't think about the point on the nose because
I didn't either.
Just made to lose to Whitney, apparently.
Yeah.
Second place once again. Whatever.
It's bullshit. That's a trick question, John.
As long as Derek's.
Flashbacks of Kahoot.
Fuck. Okay. Any other quotes? Nope. No. Cool. And Pirate Pals.
Okay. You caught me when I took a bite of food.
Sorry.
I'm gonna eat now. 5 minutes.
Usually, I pick a Pirate Pal that is not a main character, but you can hate me if you want. I just had to post a picture of a shirtless Sanji.
I was going to say, you posted a shirtless Sanji, didn't you?
I'm going to.
He's a little more than a pal.
Oh, he's Amanda's very special friend. I found this really good picture. I know it's kind of bright on the screen of a side-by-side of anime Sanji in live action. But I've also got this lovely one of him drenched, shirtless on the dock after saving Luffy's life. So you guys will get to see that this week.
Well, yay, for sure.
change his iPhone background?
Eyebrow or not.
Okay. And piece of shit nominations.
Buggy.
Better go with Nami.
Oh, Nami. That was a good point. I don't know. She did save Luffy's life, I think. Yeah. Kind of.
I think, I mean, she did.
For sure.
And I would second Nami. She did save his life, and I have from the beginning thought like she had a reason for her actions, but you still did those actions, so you're a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Or Usopp. What the fuck did Usopp do this episode?
So my two
lied less than before, so I'm okay.
Yeah. My two nominations were Usopp and Chu, because neither one of them did fucking anything. And I was like, I was thinking about, do I want to put Usopp or do I want to put Chu? And I'm just like, well, neither one of them did anything. So I feel like if I pick one, I have to pick the other. Because it's the same reason. So I kind of put them as one.
I don't
even
know which one. Is that the lips guy?
Yeah, that's the lips guy. He just sat there.
I don't like to see his lips move, so I'm okay with that.
I don't. They're so...
They're like, so
spread
much.
Out. It's awful.
They look like a... They look like something straight off of freaking Doctor Who, man.
I'll be honest. I had a friend or a coworker like eat some lobster when he had an allergic reaction and his lips swelled up. And what I think of. Like, he did something and I was like, oh, that looks like.
It looks like bad Botox.
It does. Like bad Botox. Yeah. So I'm just glad when, like, I'd rather him not be on the screen, but if he's going to be on it, I hope he's not doing anything. And Usopp lies a lot, so this time I guess he didn't talk that much, so he didn't lie that much, and therefore I can't get behind that.
Usopp just annoys me.
He does. Yeah. That's, you know, yeah.
And, like, whenever Sanji and Luffy were fighting, Usopp was cowering in a corner, which I think it's very character accurate.
He's under the table.
Yeah.
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 But hey,
he had a slingshot out. He just didn't do it.
I'm sure he'll tell someone later that he like single-handedly beat them off.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He told Zoro that later. He was like, hey, you know, I sent those guys packing. And Zoro's like, oh yeah, I believe that, Captain Usopp, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Usopp from previous episode would have not only told him that, but then given a whole like blow by blow of things that didn't happen. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He did not lie as much in this episode. He just didn't really do anything. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, those were my two nominations. I understand Nami.
Could go with Kobe. Kobe done sent Garb into a furious rage.
I can absolutely get behind that. I could get behind Kobe for
that's
sure.
That's a really good point. I like that one.
I'm not gonna go with that one. But yeah, I understand.
Nami?
Because he didn't send him in a rage. He just helped clean it up and then he tried to talk him down.
But which sent him into the rage.
I'm saying the rage.
Yeah. The rage I'm talking about is like he's like changed his whole mindset now and he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna go do this. It's gonna work now. And like
gloves are coming off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Destroying his office was just blowing off some steam.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of convinced him of a better way to go after Luffy. Just like, you know, before you were going after him like you would any other pirate, but you need to specialize in and fine horn skills for who your actual opponent is. And so
I feel like it's the opposite.
For sure.
I feel like now he's gonna go after him like he would any other pirate, but before
I mean, technique-wise, not like what's going to happen when you get him. Whereas before, he was like, with pirates, I do this thing. And he wasn't, but Luffy doesn't act like a regular pirate. So that's why he was like so far behind all the time. So Garf now
I'm sorry, Garf.
I was going to say, I just think now that he's going to, while the outcome will still be like, you know, hey, you're a pirate, you're going to be, you know, punished or whatever the same way. Now he's going to specialize his approach to getting him. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get other people to do this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's time to step up himself.
And I did have Nami wrote down as well. I guess it was just because of the fact that she's been trying to get Luffy to show a certain mindset this whole time. And then when he finally did, she got pissed off about it. And then the whole thing later about, you know, hey, throw him in the water. You know, we just need to be done betraying them. Well, don't get me wrong. I get that that was kind of what she was forced to do. And like, she didn't really have a lot of options at that point. I still think that she could have stayed, you know, the other option is she could have had Luffy's back and doubled down in a tough situation. So I feel like Nami is a fair nomination for the piece of shit as well.
I mean, last little person, but I mean, Arlong.
He's just being himself.
I mean,
like,
that's
low hanging fruit, I think. Oh. Like, that, I think, like, we know.
I have another nomination. The toothpicks in Arlong's nose.
What?
No.
Yeah,
you're alone.
No.
All right.
Whitney, shut that down real quick.
Okay, fine.
With Usopp or Nami?
Usopp it is.
Say, Nami.
I say Nami. I say your trauma is no excuse for betraying others.
I'm always good for Nami to be the piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
So, Garrett Brady, I don't know if you knew this or not. So this is actually about the area in the anime where we came up with the piece of shit award. And we actually, Whitney actually came up with it specifically so we could give it to Nami.
So, yeah, everything you guys describe, I don't think I would like. I think I would really actively hate Nami. Anime.
What, wasn't she the MVPs last week?
Yeah. So that's the funny thing. That. Nami wins the MVPs more than any other character. But wait, no, MVPs last week was Mihawk. 2 weeks ago, Nami got it.
You're right. I'm sorry. I binged all y'all in like 3 days.
Yeah, Nami gets MVPs more than anyone else. And she is second most in piece of shit. Usopp has it more, but that was just because of last week. Before that, they were tied.
Yeah. I can get behind it. She's for very divisive. With the way she talked to Luffy. I think like that more than even, you know, leaving them and having her thrown in the water. I think just the way that she is, like, just wants him to be a certain way, and then if he's not, like, he's wrong, it's just so judgmental. I think that that's even worse, because there's no reason for that. Like, you're that's just you know, being a dick. So
cool. So Nami it is. All right. And
Nami is nominated and winner.
Yep. And MVPs.
Mihawk. Just cause.
I'm in. I love it.
He showed his face.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Cool, Mihawk, two votes.
Zeph.
Zeph, okay.
Oh, you know what? I gotta go with Zeph.
Damn it, Garrett.
I think I gotta go with Zeph too.
That's good for me.
Cool, we'll just give it to Zeph then. I had Sanji, but I understand Zeph. And actually, we gave it to Zeph at this point in the anime, so it's fair.
I was thinking like Sanji or Zeph, and I think Zeph for me works.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go back on it, but him like walking out of the restaurant to see what's his face set off was good. Mm-hmm. His acting was solid.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah,
I love that.
Love that we didn't nominate Buggy for a piece of shit, but
I said Buggy, but nobody reacted.
I didn't.
Hey, Loki, he could be the MVP.
Who, Buggy?
Yeah, he's getting us to Nami.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, that might be.
That's next episode.
We'll see how that goes.
I guess we will. Okay, so before we go, I understand both Garrett and Brandy have watched all of the live action now. So I just have one question for each of you. Like we kind of talked about earlier in the episode, one of the reasons that Oda wanted this to come out was to give people a different avenue to get introduced to One Piece between not reading, you know, if you haven't read the manga or you haven't seen the anime, that the live action is another way to get to know this world and these characters and maybe gain an interest in one or the other, as far as the manga or anime goes. So that's my question for you. Now, having seen the live action, do you have any further interest in looking into the anime or the manga or watching them?
Brady, go ahead.
Yes and no, I guess. Now having seen it, I have an interest in this story.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and so I think like that was something before where, you know, someone said, hey, don't watch it, and I'm like, all right, okay, cool. Whereas now, you know, if it was on and I felt like it didn't feel like such a daunting task, I'd be more open to it. But those reasons why it was suggested that I not watch it are still there. So I probably won't, but I'm more interested now than I was prior.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Garrett, how about you?
I'm in a very internal debate with it, because like some of the characters in the anime just don't, like, from the way I've talked about them, like, would kind of turn me off from the show. But I've become like, with, I didn't start watching anime till like 2 years ago, and since then I can't not have some kind of animated thing that I'm watching
mm-hmm.
at any given time. And so I might just give it a try, just for that purpose, that I am coming out of a very heavy Clone Wars, Star Wars binge, and now my palate is empty, and I need something to fill the void.
Absolutely. So I would say, you know, and this is kind of what I told Keith last week and what this podcast started with, you know, with Whitney and Amanda, if you decide to watch the anime, you know, and every show has this, whether it's in, you know, an anime or any cartoon or show or whatever, there's always a certain point where you need to watch till that point before you make a decision on the show.
For sure.
And with One Piece, it's episode 45.
Okay.
Which would get you through the events of the live action as well.
That is a commitment.
It's not, when you think about the episodes being 20 minutes long, it's honestly like you can, I think when, if I was actually trying to watch through episode 45, I could get through it in 2 to 3 days, and that's still working a full-time job. Like, it sounds like it's a lot, but it's really not whenever you realize how short the episodes are. Like one episode of the live action, you can watch 3 anime episodes. But if you stop before episode 5, you haven't given the show a fair shot. Writing changes after episode 30, and then from 30 to 45 is the Arlong Park arc. So it's essentially the get through the first arc after the writing changes, and if you don't like it, stop, because you're not gonna see anything in the future that you're gonna like. But if you at least like it from there, then the show gets crazy as it keeps going. It gets amazing. But
I'll probably, the length that this show is, mm-hmm. I will probably use it as a in between slow season kind of show.
Absolutely.
So like right now I'm really waiting on Dragon Ball Super Season 2, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be coming out pretty soon, I hope. But like, yeah, I'll probably use it to fill voids.
Yeah, and it's not anything you need. Yeah, it's absolutely not anything you need to get to, you know, need to rush through. Because like you both kind of talked about, it's a lot of episodes. It's a daunting task. Yeah. You know.
Also,
go ahead.
I'm also a person who, like, if I watch it, I'm gonna watch it, and then I'm gonna watch reactions on it to see how my reaction, if they're right or wrong. Like, not my reaction, mm-hmm. if the people I'm watching, based on my reaction, if they're right or wrong, because I am always right. But
mm-hmm.
that can be a lot. Like, you know, to to watch it and then watch like 3 or 4 people watch like a condensed version of it. That's mm-hmm. sometimes I'm like, why do I do this to myself? As I do it, you know, as I've watched Loki like 6 times already, like just going from each channel. Luckily enough, I've started to like pare it down to certain people, so it's not everyone, but yeah, even as you say it, I'm like 45 episodes, and my part-time job, I just watch TV all day, so I could really do it, but
Yeah, I had it on mostly in the background for like the first 20 to 25. Like I didn't really pay attention to it. Like I was doing other stuff and I just kind of had it on in the background. I think it was pretty much Mihawk that grabbed my attention. And then after that, like I said, the writing changes in at episode 30, which is shortly after Mihawk. And that's where it started like, okay, I need to start paying attention to see what the hell's going on here.
I'll make you a deal, Derek.
Okay.
I'll do the 45 episodes of One Piece, give it a try.
Okay.
You have to watch the first season of JJK.
Okay. How many? Sure.
I can look right now, actually. I don't think it's anything more than 8 episodes.
I'll also make you a deal, Derek.
Okay.
I'll watch the first 45 episodes of One Piece if I decide to.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's
That's a good
fair.
deal.
I completely lied, Derek. I completely lied to you. It's
60.
24 episodes.
Cool. I'll do it.
It's a bit.
Cool.
I
Yeah.
got you. I got you.
24 is not many. That's fine. All
No.
righty. Well, thank you both very much for coming on and joining us this week. It was fantastic having you on here. I had a ton of fun getting to talk to you both for sure. It sounds like both of you really enjoyed the live action, so that's good to hear.
It was really good.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I'm glad. And for all the listeners out there, you can support the show on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Going Merry Pod. And you can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It goes a long way with getting the podcast out there, and it is very, very much appreciated. So I hope everyone has a great rest of your week. See ya.
Bye.
Deuces.
Bye-bye.